Attention, radio listeners.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Founded in 1999, the World Canine Freestyle Organization has now grown to over 20 chapters in 17 countries. And their ultimate goal? To one day see musical canine freestyle become an Olympic sport.
No.
Who can bring the dazzle, the pizzazz, the showmanship? The stage is set. The goal is clear. It's time to dance with the dogs.
And their ultimate goal? To one day see musical canine freestyle become an Olympic sport.
And God forbid that it would ever happen. It would be a national tragedy of historic proportions if it were to happen.
And now.
I just love hot Cheetos.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I deserve hot Cheetos. I deserve hot Cheetos. I deserve hot Cheetos.
Our feature presentation.
Musical canine freestyle.
Yes,
yes,
is what
indeed.
They're calling that sport.
That's sweeping the sport. The nation.
Calling it a sport, too.
Bean and Lisa both watch. Bean because he had to. Lisa because she's a pet parent.
Because they're dogs.
On Saturday on the Animal Planet, this past Saturday, there was Dancing with Dogs.
Let me just say.
It's every bad. We played some highlights yesterday in the afternoon. It's every bad thing you could possibly imagine.
Kevin, those dogs can dance.
Really? Wow. Except for the one that the highlight that Bean played where the dog turned and ran for its life.
And the dog pooped.
They all wanted to run for their life. He's the only one who had the guts to actually go for it.
He's probably like a dog hero now. All the other dogs are like, wow, you had the guts to do it. Good job.
That was the funniest thing. She ran off after him.
It's got to be like breaking out of prison, you know? They can see the perimeter. They just need to get out of the yard. And you're probably right. He's on the other side now coming to visit the poor animals that are still stuck inside. And he's like, yeah, man, I'm glad I went for it. It was awesome. Sure is better here on the outside where I don't have to freaking dance.
We are going to take your calls like we usually do at 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. I was watching the Channel 4 News last night. And I wanted to bring in perhaps what the problem is for the Clippers. This is good news for Dave.
Oh, okay.
They've had a pretty rough start to their season. This is Channel 4.
This is the KNBC Nissan Sports Desk with Fred Rogan.
Hello again. The Clippers are off to a very slow start at 4-16. Now maybe we know why. Jenny Craig hired Clipper guard Baron Davis to endorse their products, paying him $250,000. Part of the deal required Baron to actually gain weight in the offseason, meaning he wasn't in game shape by opening night. Well, the $250,000 is nothing compared to the $62 million deal the Clips gave him, so they're not too happy with the weight loss giant for telling their star, pack on the pounds.
They told him he had to gain weight in the offseason.
Why? So that he could lose it now?
Yes, so that he looked like he was losing a lot of weight.
And he could say, Jenny Craig, help me.
No.
They told him to gain weight.
They should just hire fat celebrities. There's plenty of fat celebrities.
They don't hire
somebody who's in good shape and make him gain weight.
That's what Channel 4 said last night.
Maybe the fat celebrities can't lose weight.
Yeah, I mean.
Because that's why they're fat.
But then it's kind of, you're advertising this as a weight loss product that will work for everyone.
Yes.
In effect, you're doing it with a guy who's already thin or in shape.
Yes, and as a professional athlete, by the way, who's going to burn off way more calories than anyone who's watching at home.
Of course. In the off season, which starts early for the Clippers, he starts eating. He packs on the pounds.
Unbelievable. I don't blame the Clippers for being upset by that, by the way.
Yeah, but they're upset with the wrong people. They said they were upset with Jenny Craig. They should be upset with Baron Davis.
Yeah,
why
that's
would
true.
He even do that? It's so little money to him.
I can't imagine.
He just looked at it as I can make a few extra bucks if I'm just willing to put on some weight. They didn't say how much,
nope.
But I wonder. I mean, if it were too much, I think we'd all have noticed.
Yeah.
So if you need a scapegoat for the dismal start, maybe point that finger at Jenny. Speaking of
no, all right, I thought it would say there.
I think it was $250,000.
Yeah, no, that's how much they paid him.
No, the weight.
How much was he supposed to gain?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what
it
we're wondering.
It could have been that much because during the preseason he looked fine.
I thought so too, but
yeah.
They acted like they uncovered the contract or something, and that it literally forced him to gain weight, which I find very funny.
By the way, we do have a couple of lines open if you want to get in on the early edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air and get a prize. We are going to take your calls in a minute. So is Dave going to use this as his you know, reason for now it's a team distraction, so there's no way they can play together because they can't fight through this controversy?
I can't even imagine Dave would do that, because that seems ridiculous. But I think when Dave interviewed him, he just said it in my ear that Baron Davis said he was 19 pounds. That's how much he had to lose.
Oh.
So maybe that's how much he gained in the offseason.
That's enough to make a difference, by the way, for a basketball player, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
slow
definitely.
You down.
So there you go. Eat. We're going to pay you to eat, and then we're going to pay you to lose weight.
Nice.
I would take that deal, by the way.
Well, of course you would. That's your regular life. But he's an athlete that's getting
making
paid $62 million by the Clippers. I would say they have a decent expectation of having him in shape when the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. By the way, I have fried chicken and mashed potatoes on tap for 6 a.m. today.
Yes.
Wow.
That's the way to eat.
Leftovers from dinner last night I've been looking forward to. I woke up in the middle of the night and I looked at the clock. And I thought, oh, just like 3 more hours till I can have fried chicken and mashed potatoes. I can't wait.
And no one's paying him to gain weight. He's just doing it.
That didn't happen, though, because you ate it last night. So there's no way you woke up in the middle of the night looking forward to it.
I did because liar. I knew I had leftovers in the fridge that I was going to have for breakfast this morning. I was so excited.
How excited can you be about a meal you had last night?
Because it's going to be awesome this morning because fried chicken and mashed potatoes is even going to be better as a leftover, as a reheat. It's going to be even better this morning than it was last night. Oh, I can't wait. I do dream of food. It's not a joke. I really do.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. As always, that's the toll-free number to get a hold of the Kevin and Bean Show. Get on the air, get a prize. How about this? It's the number one selling, say it with me, extruded snack in America, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. It's a family-sized bag of flaming hot Cheetos. That's what you get for being on the air with us.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
I like hot Cheetos just because those kids do.
I know.
Pat in Redondo Beach. Good morning.
Morning. What it do?
What it do?
I was at the AC/DC concert on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it.
Yes. A couple of things happened. Kiefer Sutherland was sitting behind us.
Oh, cool.
Angus should never take his shirt off ever.
Oh, no.
Really?
Thin and old, and it was gross.
Yeah.
In the lobby when I was waiting in line to get a drink, there was a huge line for the men's restroom.
Yeah.
One guy was so drunk, he just started to urinate in the trash can outside of the men's room.
That's how you know it's a party.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's a party, if the guy starts peeing.
I didn't see what he had, but the look on the female security guard's face was, he might have been really small.
Oh.
Oh.
All right.
How funny.
Fantastic. That's a show right there. I love
when you're
that.
Still hoarse today, that's
yeah.
a show.
Yeah.
No kidding. Mike, I can't believe you didn't go to AC/DC, you of all people, but I guess that was Ralph's party that night, right?
That was Ralph's party, and I thought I was going to be working as well. It was a mess. I'm very disappointed in myself, though, believe me.
Because I don't come around all that often.
Go to, is it Javi?
Hey, Kevin and Bean, what up?
What up?
Good morning.
Hey, I'm getting ready to go to work, and I'm lit, bro.
Really? What a surprise.
Sure sounds like it.
Now, you didn't go to bed last night?
No, I got wake and bake.
Are you not capable of saying anything unless your voice goes up like this at the end?
Well, no, I gotta go to work, but we got lit, so we gotta get ready to go to work now. Cool. Me and my roommate.
What Mommy. Kind of work do you do?
Well, I have to work at Krispy Kreme.
Oh, that's the perfect job if you're baked.
No, I eat all. I'm gonna get fired because I keep messing up and. Eating all the donuts, and I make them too messy.
Excellent. Yeah. No, you sound like you do good work.
What time did you start getting high this morning?
4.
You guys are making fun of me, looking forward to my fried chicken. This guy was smoking out at 4 a.m.
Oh, that's the best. All right, Javi, well, good luck today, man.
Thank you.
Good luck getting fired.
Call us more often, Javi.
Yeah, he's the best.
Seriously. Javi sounds like he's having the best day ever.
Let's go.
That's a lot of excitement for a Tuesday, right there. By the way, that's really partying for a Tuesday.
Alan, Santa Monica. Good morning.
What it do, y'all?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, you guys are speaking about dogs. I was actually calling because yesterday on Fox News on the front page they actually had a scene where this dog got run over in Chile,
mm-hmm.
and I guess a small. It looked like a bulldog. helped pulled them out of the freeway.
No kidding.
It was awesome.
And then
yeah.
gave them mouth to mouth, and then CPR.
It could have been, but it was awesome. This little freaking run of a dog pulled his boy out of the freaking freeway.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's cool.
That is amazing. He should get on that dancing show just as a celebrity dog.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what they didn't have is the celebrity dog judges on the show.
Yeah,
or what a surprise. They really need. That's a good idea.
Let's go to Raphael in Santa Ana. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey guys, I just wanted to say that I got a story.
Oh, I can't. Sorry, do you think you can say that?
That's all right.
Sorry.
So you said you saw her kissing him, and you think it's hypocritical because she was critical of him?
Of course. Yeah. She's been talking smack about him all 4 years, 8 years, and now she's giving him a kiss. What about with that? I mean, what's going on?
Tell me the circumstances of those two being together and making out.
Well, not really making out, but I mean, I guess he was going around the room giving kisses to the people, and she was there, and she gave him a kiss. I mean, what's up with that?
Well, there are a lot. I didn't see that particular story. Was she getting some sort of an award or something? Is that what it was?
Alex says it's Kennedy Center Awards.
Kennedy Center Honors, yeah. There are a lot of people who just show deference to the office when they're there in person with the president. You give him respect, shake his hand, or in this case, you know, kiss on the cheek or whatever. You may disagree with his policies, but you have respect for the office, and maybe that's what she was doing.
Did she drop to her knees then?
No, not really.
All right, just checking. So what should she have done? I mean, should she have not been there? Should she have turned away?
Of course, not showed up.
Not showed up. All right. Yeah,
for her award.
Oh, she got an award?
Because he was there.
Oh, yeah.
Nah. I don't know if she got an award, but I mean...
Don't care that much.
Yeah.
Really?
That's silly. You have to be respectful.
By the way, I don't know if we're revisiting bad Christmas songs. We took some calls yesterday on it, but we need to pull Barbra Streisand's Jingle Bells. Because you've never heard anything worse than her version. She reinvents it. She redoes the melody. Jingle Bells done well is horrible.
Yeah.
Wait to hear what she does with it.
Apparently it was her award, so she kind of had
She kind
to
of probably
should there.
Have showed up.
Frank in East LA, good morning.
Good morning.
What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do, Frank?
Well, I got this quick story. I got a 6-year-old son, and when I take him to school, I started to see a lot of small bags of potato chips called Takis, and these are supposed to be the upgraded version of Hot Cheetos.
Right.
And you can find them like at 7-Eleven. So all the kids are upgrading from Hot Cheetos to Takis, which are spicier.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are they?
Yeah.
Are they good?
They're spicier. They're like spicier, and they're like rolled up the tortilla chips, like taquitos. That's what they call Takis.
Oh.
That's what we needed is a spicier food. So, okay.
Spicier than Flaming Hot Cheetos.
And it looks like all the kids are upgrading to Takis because they already, I guess, they need spicier food than the Hot Cheetos.
Fantastic. All right.
All right, dude.
That's what we got to do.
Yep.
Thanks for the tip. I just love Takis.
It doesn't
have
a ring,
so
does
much.
It?
No.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have, Tuesday, the 9th of Double December.
I love fake boobs. Oftentimes you find them on strippers.
We have Christmas party disasters.
Oh, those are the best
stories. We talked to a guy,
ever.
I think last week, who danced with his boss's wife and got fired.
Yes.
That's good times. We have highlights of Dancing with the Dogs. Bean has it. Or Dancing with Dogs.
If you missed it in the afternoon show yesterday, you're really not going to believe it's real. It does. I was thinking as I was watching it that it's so much like Best in Show, which was poking fun of crazy people with their dogs.
Right.
That I mean, you almost couldn't make that movie now because the people have gotten so much weirder and so much further out that you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between the real one and the fake one anymore. I mean, there was a woman practically French kissing her dog on this show. I'm not kidding. That was the finale of their dance, is that the dog was over her shoulder and they were just swapping tongues.
Were there any guys that were dancing with their dogs?
No. Yeah. Well, it's funny. There was one, and it was the younger brother, the teenage younger brother.
Right.
Lisa, you know who I'm talking about, who was the goofiest, geekiest guy you've ever seen. He was the teenage younger brother of the expert, the junior champion expert that they had on doing color commentary. So that whole family is effed up.
Oh, that guy's life is miserable.
You can't even believe this guy. He had huge, like, braces on and stuff like that. He could barely talk. It was the guy will never get laid. Ever.
In a half hour, we're going to talk to Tony Fox, who is running a resort in Australia. They were having trouble booking it. They were, you know, tourism was down, so they decided to have a big sex party.
Well, that's a way to go.
A nudist type sex party, and pretty much almost completely sold out.
Nice.
It's a great, great idea. Hey, what's the name of the resort?
The White Cockatoo.
Oh, God.
British Priest. went to the hospital and had to have something surgically removed from his ass. And it was a potato. And wait till you hear the story of how it got up there.
Man.
It's fantastic. The old announcer at the Oscar De La Hoya fight, Larry Merchant, must die. Got some highlights of him.
He will. Don't worry.
He's about to die on screen. He's getting so bad. We're going to tell you about Kevin and Bean's Black Christmas.
Oh, all right.
I want to hear about that.
And we have pit tickets and backstage passes to both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. Not bad, right?
That would solve life's problems.
We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat. That is next.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Miss Double December, come... What just happened to me?
I don't know.
What you guys just happened? Did I have a stroke right there?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
You guys in your editing.
That was us.
I wish I could edit that well. I wish I had the comic gifts to be able to edit like that.
The owner of the White Cockatoo Resort in Australia having an all-nude sex month. It's a month, right, Ralph? Is that what they're doing?
A month.
Yeah. We'll talk to him coming up after the news at 6. Plus, keep listening for your tickets to go backstage and be in the pit for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008 shows, which are this coming weekend. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday. What's going on? How you go?
Big news coming out of NBC today. Apparently, they're preparing to announce later on this afternoon that Jay Leno won't be leaving NBC after all.
What?
Here's the thing. Leno said he was going to quit The Tonight Show in 2009.
Like four years ago?
Yeah. He said, I'm done. I'm making my long-term plan. This is it. I'm leaving. They said, all right. That's what you say. And then we're going to hire Conan O'Brien to come in and take over The Tonight Show. Then he decides, oh, no, I'm not really sure I'm going to go. And they're like, sorry.
Already got a replacement
plan. We made plans already. This is the Brett Favre situation all over again, right? So he starts making noise about, well, then I'll just go over to ABC. Or I'll go over to Fox, or I'll go someplace else. And then they all start sweating bullets. And now they think they've come to a solution for everyone involved.
He's going to be on The View?
It's going to make everyone happy except people who watch television.
Oh.
Jay Leno will be moving to 10 p.m. weeknights on NBC.
Really? That's different.
What gets bumped because of him?
Every good show that's on NBC at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's every night,
all
right?
The Law and Orders and all the other good stuff we like to watch on that network.
Interesting.
So, you know how he wasn't funny at 11:30?
Yes.
Oh, he's going to be really not funny at 10. Because 11:30, usually you got half a load on or you're kind of tired and you're like, Adam's going to watch something before I go to sleep. He sucks, but what else is on, really?
Right.
I would say Letterman or, Jimmy or anything else. But there are people who watch him, I think, just because of habit.
Sure.
Now, he's going to be on a 10. They're going to be wider awake, and they're going to go, wait a minute.
Yeah,
this guy's really not funny. What was he doing watching him at 11:30?
I think it's a great idea, by the way. I think it's a terrific plan.
Do we really need 4 hours of talk show on NBC at night? Do we need Jay Leno at 10 to 11 o'clock, then the news, then Conan O'Brien from 11:30 to 12:30 or whatever he does, and then Jimmy Fallon on after that?
Right. Look, I don't watch Jay Leno. I'm not a fan of his, but it just makes so much sense to me because clearly the networks cannot generate enough quality primetime programming at this point. I mean, this is going to make the whole rest of their schedule so much better because they'll have fewer room for crappy shows.
Another option
would be much stronger primetime.
Make better shows.
Well, of course, but that doesn't seem to be possible.
Well, Jay Leno 5 nights a week at 10 o'clock is not an answer for quality programming, I promise you.
Not for me, but who knows.
So this way it keeps him out of the hands of the competition, which is what they're really concerned about, because Conan O'Brien would have to go up against him on another network if that was the case.
Right.
And keeps Leno happy because he's making a whole boatload of cash, and NBC thinks it'll hold on to those.
You guys will mock me, but I wrote a blog post with that suggestion in March of last year where I said, this is clearly the answer. You don't let Jay Leno go away. You put him at 10 and destroy the competition with it.
I wrote a blog a year ago, March, and said that. That's when I wrote it.
I called Leno, and I said, yeah, you should tell Jeff Zucker, who runs NBC programming, that's how you should play it. And he said, I couldn't understand what he was saying. It was informative. AOL has released their list of the 100 hottest hunks of all time on television.
100 hottest hunks of all time.
It's a lot of hunks, Lisa. That's what I said.
Yeah.
And this is BS, by the way. I'm sorry, it's not even 100. It's 50. the 50 TV's hottest hunks ever. From AOL. This is an online poll. And we need to talk to him because there's some just ridiculous names on here. And it's Adam West is not on here, by the way. Which is completely
clearly is the hunkiest.
Completely unacceptable. Why, at least one of the top 50 hunks of all time on television. At least. At least.
Pretty gay show.
Not even in the top 10. Not in the top 50. Some of the people on this list. Chase Crawford at 40. Really? All time? Geez. All time? Chase Crawford? All time?
We will not know his name in 6 months.
Exactly. Let's see who else is ridiculous on this list.
We were hoping you'd have some names.
I am. I'm just trying to find someone that are just, you know, Jason.
Are you translating it from Chinese?
Jensen Ackles.
Who's that?
I don't know.
He's from Supernatural over on the CW. He lands at 18.
Well, maybe he's...
All time. This is all time, all television, all time. Yeah. 18th hottest hunk on television, Jensen Ackles. Come on now.
Ackles does good work.
Eric Estrada's 14th.
Yeah. Eric.
Don Johnson, the 11th. Tom Selleck, number 10. Michael Vartan from Alias, number 9. Mark Harmon, number 8. Taylor Kitsch.
Who's that?
Number 7. You have got me, my brother.
Taylor Kitsch?
Oh, I've heard that name.
Taylor Kitsch. K-I-T-S-C-H. Taylor Kitsch.
Hmm.
7th all-time hottest hunk on television.
He's not our Friday Night Lights John Riggins guy, is he, Lisa?
I don't know. I don't know their names, to be honest.
Dave says it is.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought that sounded
familiar.
Then
he's pretty damn hot.
If the two biggest Friday Night Light fans in the room were scratching their heads at the mention of Taylor Kitsch,
I thought of it, but...
Is it maybe? Could it be our John Riggins friend? Could it be? I don't know. It doesn't jump to your mind.
I don't read their bios.
How about their names, Lisa, if you like?
I just like the show.
How about the name coming up?
Nope.
John Stamos is 6th. Tom Welling.
Hot. Taylor Kitsch. I know he is hot.
All right.
I'm guessing he's hot if he's on the hunk list. I'm just saying all time ever in the history of television, hot?
Sure.
Tom Welling, my boy from Smallville, Superman. He is 5th on the list. Tay Diggs.
Hello.
He is 4th. Josh Holloway from Lost is 3rd.
What?
Sawyer from Lost.
He's pretty hot.
Bean votes for that one all over the place. He loves that guy.
George Clooney is 2nd on the list.
Second.
Of course, he was on ER.
Okay.
Right?
Who's
number one hottest hunk ever on TV? Ever? Ever?
The name that I kept expecting to hear in that top 10 was Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck was number 10.
He was 10.
Oh, he was.
You weren't listening close enough to the top 10 if you were waiting for that name.
I'm going
to
go
already passed you by.
I'm going to go with Homer Simpson.
Close.
Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson, not number one.
David Schwimmer from Friends.
No.
No?
Not the Schwimm.
Jason Alexander.
Not Jason Alexander either, no. Nor is it Dustin Diamond.
I got it. Dennis Franz.
No.
NYPD Blue. Come on.
I know what show he was on. Still not him.
Okay.
Patrick Dempsey.
Oh, come on.
Is that McDreamy?
Yeah.
That'd be McDreamy.
Great.
Okay.
All right. Really?
I guess.
Really?
I think a lot of times those lists, they tell you who they talk to, basically. I mean, you can tell who they interviewed about this list by who the top 10 is.
And the answer is women under 30 who haven't seen any TV shows more than 5 years old. That's the answer in
That's
this
correct.
Particular list.
John Hamm from Mad Men, by the way. 45th. 45th on the list. Unacceptable.
That's just wrong.
I want to get this woman on and talk to her, the woman, this editor, this Jennifer Moses, because there's going to be hell to pay.
Never saw you so upset about a hunky list.
No kidding.
Some hunks are better than others. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. Lyle Wagner's 32nd, for God's sakes.
Who's that?
He should be much higher up on the list.
Who's Lyle Wagner?
Lyle Wagner.
Who is he?
He's from the Carol Burnett Show.
He also was Major Steve Trevor opposite Linda Carter on Wonder Woman. He was her boyfriend on the Wonder Woman show. Hunk. That was a hunk right there. Lee Majors, the $6 million man, 28th on the list.
What?
28th. Who is hunkier than Lee Majors?
He's the man.
He is, and he's bionic.
He should be in the top 10 today.
Yeah. Not interested.
Such a G.
He was way a G. Here's a bizarre story. This is now you know we're living in the backward world. Before she became who she is, Marissa Miller.
Oh.
Yes. Tried to pose nude for Playboy, and they turned her down.
No kidding.
She didn't make it into Playboy magazine.
Death to Hef.
Can you imagine?
I wonder...
Fresh to death.
I wonder how many people that's true of that end up in the magazine but get turned down someplace along the way.
Because she was rejected by Playboy, she ended up posing for Perfect 10 instead.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
We got to find that.
What do you mean you got to find it? You haven't seen those?
Those photos are everywhere.
No, I would look for them right now.
Great knockers.
I knew she was in Perfect 10, but I didn't know she had tried out for Playboy and got rejected.
Well, she can make a lot more money posing for Playboy now, I bet.
Then she became a Victoria's Secret model. And now, of course, they'd love to have her, but she's not interested.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that was a little interesting piece of information from our friend Mr. Skin over there on that website. He's got a lot of good stuff over there.
She got big-ass boobies.
She does. God bless her. And Jennifer Aniston's complaining about fame again.
Uh-oh.
She tells USA Today that she thinks her popularity in the tabloids is ridiculous.
I do, too.
I do, too, by the way. I'm with you. But you know what? If it wasn't for her constantly being in the tabloids, I wouldn't even know she was still in show business.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
What was the... I can't think of the last movie she made.
She's got a big one now, Marley and Me.
Yeah, she's got this dog movie coming out. In fact, she says she hopes the movie will be a big hit so people realize that she still acts. So if that's the case, then you should be happy you're represented someplace in show business, albeit the tabloids.
I guess, but anytime I see her on the cover of something, I'm not that interested. Like, I don't really want to read the article. Well, she's cute.
Right.
Times 10.
I think The Breakup was the last movie that I really remember her having starring role in. With Vince Vaughn, yeah.
Look, there's lots of cute girls.
Yeah.
Walking down Melrose, for God's sakes. I'd rather see them in the pages of something. And we got a new wacky name for a kid from a celebrity.
Great.
Eric Mabius.
Yeah, Eric.
Who plays Daniel Meade on Ugly Betty.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three things I just said there. I have no idea what any of them mean. Right? I don't know what Eric Mabius means. I don't know from Daniel Meade and Ugly Betty. Lost on me. Got no
concept.
But
you're talking to me, so go ahead.
Right. He and his wife, Ivy, have a new baby boy.
Yes.
Okay. And?
His name is Rylan.
Rylan.
R-Y-L-A-N.
Terrible name.
Rylan.
Is that his Star Trek name or is that his real on Earth name?
Wow.
Rylan. Which sounds like an over-counter medication for acid reflux.
No kidding.
Try new Rylan. You'll be able to sleep better than you ever have before.
Now an extra strength.
What's my name?
Rylan Jackson is his middle name, but of course it's J-A-X-O-N.
Sure.
Of course.
Because that makes him interesting.
Rylan Jackson Mabius. So congratulations, Rylan. You're
Rylan. Is that do they make that one up or does that name have some history?
I'm not familiar with Rylan on any level.
What country did that name come from?
Where's the derivation of Rylan? Today's celebrity birthdays are in the other room, I've just realized. So, happy birthday to everyone whose birthday it is today. Just figure it out amongst yourselves, won't
general you? General catch-all.
Exactly. Right. Happy birthday to everyone who was born today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have, course, information at KROQ.com about everything that has to do with the KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008 show, Saturday and Sunday at the Gibson Amphitheater. A lot of people, by the way, believe, I don't know how this rumor got started, that you can email in with your story of why you need tickets and we'll just send them to you. That seems to be common this week.
I told people that.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
If you write Kevin and Bean with a really interesting story, they will give you tickets.
I got to tell you,
I wanted the double December pageant. I said, just keep writing.
I got to tell you, we're really grateful that people are interested at all in this show.
Absolutely. Yes.
But when you get too many of those, you start going, I either have to give tickets to all of these people because I feel bad, and then some people are making it up just to try and weasel their way in. Some people aren't telling the truth. Yeah. You don't know who's who. It gets really depressing. Finally, you just have to go, just can't.
One guy wrote me and said, I was at a store doing Christmas shopping, and this little kid came up with a pair of shoes for his mom because she was going to die, and he wanted her to look good for Jesus.
That's a
so he was
that's
buying her new
song.
Shoes.
That's
I felt
your new
so
shoe
bad.
Song.
I started tearing up. I actually gave him a golden ticket
Christmas
for
shoes song,
the second night of Almost Acoustic Christmas.
That's the song that makes you bawl like a little girl, the Christmas song called Christmas Shoes.
I had to give the kid toys. I had to give him tickets.
He didn't want tickets, though. He wanted shoes.
Just didn't care. Huh. I said, here, give this to your mom.
It was almost Christmas time. And there I stood in another line.
Come on, Ralph.
Trying to buy that last gift or two.
See?
Not really in the Christmas
mood. This guy wasn't in the Christmas mood.
This has everything going against it.
Don't play anymore because I will cry.
This has everything going against it. It's the cheesy, like, adult contemporary ballad BS.
You will get
BS,
no argument from me
terrible,
on any
like,
of this.
Country music singer.
Yes. Yes.
Fictional story where
yes,
the kid's heart is broken.
Yes.
But why don't you hate it, Ralph? This has everything you hate about everything.
Because it's about a kid doing something nice for his dying mom.
But you hate kids.
But I love my mom.
Yes, I do too, but...
Not enough.
Apparently not
Kevin.
Enough. Yeah.
This doesn't. Here's the thing. I don't begrudge the fact that you cry when you hear this song, except for every other song that's like it. You hate with a passion.
But there's not
that's
a lot
weird.
Of songs about little kids doing something nice for their dying mom at Christmas. How many other songs are in that category that you've ever heard me listen to?
Like 200.
I have to ask you to back up and explain why mommy needs new shoes to meet Jesus.
That's
my understanding
point.
Of how it works is that
that's
doesn't make any sense.
The little kid, he's a little kid, Bean. He doesn't get that. He doesn't understand that, asshole.
Tell me about the plot of the song.
Wait, how come the child doesn't understand the whole metaphysical situation of when one goes to heaven? Why doesn't the four-year-old grasp that? Because you're an asshole, that's why.
All right.
Oh, no, that's been proven.
Yeah, that has been proven.
I'm just saying it's a horrible song. Yesterday we had a phone topic, and we had a bunch of people calling in talking about annoying Christmas songs, and there are plenty of them. There's the freaking singing dogs, and there's the chipmunks, and there's all sorts of bad, bad songs.
For my money, by the way, all animals singing.
Done with. Heard it.
Dominic, the Italian mouse, that one, a lot of people emailed in. I mean, we definitely had a lot of complaints about a lot of songs. One of the ones that we did not get to yesterday, and by the way, we are going to spend a little bit more time with Ralph and crying in the Christmas shoes on the Cinco de la Tarde this afternoon at 5 p.m. But one of the songs that we didn't get to yesterday, and I can't believe if you guys haven't heard this, you're not going to believe you could mangle Jingle Bells. I mean, Jingle Bells seems like that's a two-year-old can sing that song,
Miss
right?
Miss Double December played that on the clarinet.
Yeah.
After learning how to play the clarinet for 3 days.
Another
she was able
one
to crank that out.
Five classic songs that everyone needs to record. Yeah. Too many people have done it.
Okay, now
what happened?
Now,
Is that meth Streisand?
This is Barbara Streisand. Yes,
it's meth Streisand.
What happened?
It's her sister.
Barbara Streisand, whether you like the kind of music she sings or not, you have to acknowledge she has one of the most beautiful, like crystal clear singing voices of anyone who's ever recorded records, right?
Knows.
How she can be so bad and mangle this song so much, and clearly she did it on purpose. I mean, clearly this is her arrangement of Jingle Bells, right?
Let's do something really different.
Jazzy.
Pick it up. Pick it up, kids.
She thinks this improves the song.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. We're dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. All the fields we go.
Come on, pick it up.
From bobtail rings, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh,
did they only have the studio for 2 minutes? I mean, they really, like, this was, all right, we got one more cut, track to cut. Let's
wrap
go.
It up.
Go.
This is what happens when you let Jews sing Christmas songs.
Hey!
Wow,
hey.
She's bad.
Isn't that awful?
Then she, but then she that. Slows it down in the middle.
Does
it gets
she?
Really
oh,
painful.
Dear.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago.
She mixes it up.
And soon Miss Fanny Bright was seated by my side.
Hey. And inexplicably, this song was on a huge multi-million-selling Christmas album that she did in 1967 and continues to be played on radio stations 40 years later. This song is still popular with some people.
Oh, f*** you. Yeah.
How about your precious Clay Aiken, Bean? How about that one? How about Merry Christmas with Love with your precious Clay Aiken?
May the joy of the season surround. Love.
See, that song right there is everything wrong with Christmas. It's that
Clay
cheesy.
Can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. I got no complaints about Mr. Aiken, but I mean, you can't come after Jingle Bells and compare that song to Jingle Bells. I mean, they're not even the same league.
What about Christmas Conga by Cyndi Lauper?
That's a song.
That's pretty
bonga,
bad.
Bonga, 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 the Christmas Conga.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's for people for whom the Christmas Macarena is not bad enough. Now there's the Christmas conga.
That's unbelievable how bad that is.
Yeah, don't take any ethnic type of music. Don't give me the Christmas tango. Don't give me the Jamaican Christmas. Don't give me, don't reggae Christmas. We don't need any of those kind of stuff.
What about the very, very happy, really the emotional touchstone for Christmas? Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas.
Oh.
By John Denver.
Is that what your kids sing every year?
In 1975.
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas. I don't want to see my mama cry.
That's a classic.
It blows.
It's awful.
But it's a classic.
Yeah, it's not good.
See, that's the magic of Christmas songs is that you can make a horrible Christmas song, but they will play it because Coast needs programming.
They will play it forever.
They will. You'll hear it in radio stations and elevators and malls because they just need the product.
Here was John Denver right after the writing of that song. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. The Killers, of course, play night number two of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. We have tickets for you in the pit for both nights and backstage passes for both nights.
Wow.
Coming up this morning on the show, so.
Are you going to tackle Brandon Flowers from the Killers when you see him and insist that he explain, are you human or are you dancer?
I'm hoping we will find the answer on Sunday night. I hope all of us
will
have
our eyes. Well, he's kind of already been asked. It's kind of already been asked and answered, and he says, I can do whatever I want. I write the words.
That is correct. That legally he can. You know what bugs me is that he doesn't say dancers. He says dancer.
Right.
I don't know why. That just bugs me. But, yeah, we'll find out. I mean, I'll corner him. It'll happen.
All right.
Showdown.
Okay.
All right.
Let's talk
about
the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. And then when we come back, we're going to tell you the strange story about a priest in Britain who had to have a potato surgically removed from his ass.
Oh, my God.
That's coming up next. First, the Afro line. Any topic is fine. This time of year, we get this.
Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus. I wish I could hear some Santa Claus. Make it happen. Hi, Lisa.
Come on, Omar. Christmas spooks are going to happen. Where you been?
Nope. Don't need it.
How you go?
Bean, you got the little Hot Cheeto kids? You got them standing by?
Always at my fingertips. You want them now or later?
Right now.
When I eat Hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love Hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
When I eat Hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
Wow. She does love Hot Cheetos.
That is a different kind of crazy right there.
I love me some weed. When I smoke it, I go crazy. I love weed.
Pretty good joke.
So how do you know the toothbrush was invented in the 909? If it was invented anywhere else, it'd be called a teeth brush. What's up?
That's pretty good.
Funny enough joke, but this at the end of it.
What's up?
That, for me, it drives it home. I love that. People seem to be obsessed with Miss Cleo's, yeah.
This song is for Miss Cleo's boo. Oh, say can you see, you belong to me. Every bounce you take, with every step you take, every bounce you make. Every jiggle you take, every squeeze you make, I'll be watching you.
By the way, we're going to be deducting some money out of Psycho Mike's paycheck this week. Apparently, Miss Cleo dropped something in the studio today.
Yeah.
And if I understand correctly, Mike, you did not allow her to lean over to pick it up. You reached out and picked it up yourself. Is that right?
I'm disappointed in myself. I don't know what
you should be.
Hey, can you guys please play that Offspring song 17 more times an hour?
Sure.
Sure, no problem.
You better not shout. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is dead.
Sorry to break it to you, kids.
Wow.
That's very nice. Lisa does the commercials for the AT&T.
Everything.
Uh-huh.
This guy has a tiny question about one of your commercials.
Okay. Hey, Lisa, did you really use your new AT&T phone to look up how to set a dining room table for Thanksgiving? Did you really? You couldn't think of anything else to look up on your new phone?
It just happened. What can I say?
He's got a point, though. He's got the web in front of you. You're going to go to setting the dining room table?
It was a discussion.
How?
because we were drunk.
So then the guy called back.
Hey, Lisa, my wife and I were having an argument. Where does the fork go, on the left or right? Can you look on your phone and tell me? Thanks.
I like that guy.
I think he's telling the truth. To me, it's perfectly plausible that he could have just fallen on it. I mean, I don't know why you guys are assuming the worst of the poor man.
This story comes out of the Telegraph from the UK and Britain. A vicar, which I believe is a priest in
the British church official.
Yes. Apparently had to go to the hospital because he had a potato stuck up his ass.
Yay!
He told the nurse... He explained to me quite sincerely, she said, he had been hanging curtains naked in the kitchen when he fell backwards onto the kitchen table and onto a potato.
Yo, buck ain't made for that!
That's his story. That is what he wanted her to believe.
I am with him. I think that could easily happen.
But you're hanging curtains so people don't see into your house. While you're hanging them, you're naked?
Yes. And then you fall backwards onto a table.
With your cheeks spread wide.
We have the good Reverend on the phone, Reverend Gerald Meehan. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're very good. How are you today?
I'm frankly quite embarrassed about this whole situation.
Because you had to go to the hospital?
Yeah, it's bad
and
press.
The fact that it's made the newspapers.
Yeah.
It's quite embarrassing for me, quite frankly.
The Telegraph UK, Reverend, says that you had to undergo a delicate operation to extract the vegetable. It must have been pretty well stuck up in there.
Yes. Turns out the potato is much easier going in than it is coming out.
Yeah. You were hanging curtains naked.
Yes. As I'm wont to do. As you know, hanging curtains can be a messy business.
Didn't really know that.
To avoid getting... curtain all over me, all over my clothing, and having to wash all the curtain out of my clothing.
Right.
Once the task was completed,
right.
I decided to save a step and hang the curtains in the nude.
Now, Lisa brings up a good point. If you're putting up curtains to block people's view of you, why would you do that nude?
Well, it was more to keep the sunshine out.
Oh, I see.
And it was... prying eyes.
I see. Okay.
Because the way my cottage is set against the sun, I get a strong afternoon sun coming through.
It makes it
quite intolerably warm.
I understand. Okay, if you could walk us through, Reverend, what happened? You were trying to hang the curtains. Were you standing on a chair or something and lost your balance, or what happened?
I was hanging curtains, and they were higher than I could reach, so I was on a small step stool.
Okay.
And at one point, I... slipped, being in my bare feet, and fell off the step stool onto the kitchen table.
Okay.
And there was a pile of potatoes I was preparing to make for luncheon.
Potatoes?
Yes.
Okay.
And I accidentally thrust myself upon the pile of potatoes, and the next thing I know, one became lodged deep up inside my rectum.
It ain't natural!
It seems unlikely, though, that a potato, that could happen with a potato. I mean, it's not, it wasn't sitting straight up with a point or anything like that. I mean, potatoes seem like they're kind of oval-shaped and would be laying flat and horizontal against the table.
Yes, it does seem like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's why some are questioning the truthfulness of your story, sir.
I can only imagine that I landed on the table with such enormous impact that the pure physics... of it, displaced the potato up inside my bottom.
Yo, butt ain't made for that!
It was a freak accident, I assure you.
Okay, now the nurse from the hospital that you talked to told the newspaper that she has had other people come in and lie about a can of deodorant up there, a cucumber, a Russian doll,
bizarre.
A carnation.
A can of deodorant is madness.
Right. But the potato
makes perfect sense.
It does?
Absolutely, especially when given the fact that the potato is a vicious, vicious vegetable that's been known to attack other people as well.
Now, you say potato, but you also say potato.
Yes.
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
What do you mean? Stopping the bit for?
No, that was. I like that. That was good.
What do you mean? What do you mean? It's a vicious, fruit or vegetable? What do you mean by that?
I mean it's. When you least expect it, the potato can just jump up inside one's bottom.
That never, ever happens.
Well, it did happen in this particular case.
No.
And so I'm calling for a ban of all potatoes.
You're calling for a potato ban.
The most dangerous of all the fried vegetables.
Do you have, are people in your congregation saying to you, you know, some kind of feedback like, yes, finally someone's speaking up on that dangerous, dangerous potato?
No, they know I'm an honest man. They know I'm telling the truth, and so I do have their full support.
That thing ain't got no feeling in it!
And I'm making breakfast right now, actually, for the congregation. I'm making some toast and jam. I just fell onto the toaster.
I didn't hear a fall.
No, it was a quiet fall. Nonetheless, now the toaster is jammed up inside my rectum.
The toaster?
Right there, the toaster went up you?
Toasters are damn difficult things to work in.
Are they?
It's the most difficult appliance in all of the home.
Don't you just put a slice of bread in and push the button?
Well, be careful what you push the button with, I guess.
Oh, my.
I better get a better look with this table lamp. My goodness.
What happened?
A table lamp now is up inside me.
Oh, man.
I accidentally fell on the table lamp.
I didn't hear a fall again. There was no...
By making breakfast in the nude, now I have toaster and a lamp up inside my ass.
Why are you cooking in the nude? That doesn't even seem safe.
Well, because you don't want to get bits of flour and egg white and what have you all over your clothing. So this way I just do it in the nude, and so it keeps me clean.
Toaster and a light.
Yes. I better see what I can do about this. Maybe.
What was that?
What's going on?
What was all that?
I was checking out my set of encyclopedias. And each volume somehow managed to get up inside my ass.
You didn't even fall this time?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
I accidentally just put an entire set of encyclopedias in my ass.
Wow.
How many volumes in that series?
27 volumes.
27 a volumes, wow.
Z.
You have a lot of room up there.
I better get some shoes on to go to the hospital.
Oh, the poor man.
Well, that's my shoes, my tie, my shirt, and my pants. Now, quite up inside my ass. Right. Time to walk to the hospital.
You all right?
Yes.
What's happening, Reverend?
A lot up there makes quite the rattling noise when you try to walk.
Well, we want you to be around so you can go to the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Right.
So
right.
Stick around and stay alive.
What? Stay alive? What kind of danger are we in?
I will find you. Stay alive. Wherever you are, I will find you.
People, if you can just stay alive till Saturday, that's all we ask.
What the hell?
Not an easy task.
I do think most of us are likely to make it to the weekend, but okay, Rodney, thank you for that. It's 6:52 on the Kevin and Bean Show. After the news at 7, Kevin will unveil the latest celebrity on his list of people he wants to die.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kevin has a hit list. You know that, Ralph. A lot of people he just wants to wipe out if he doesn't like them. So we'll find out who that is. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday. What's going on?
Sad news. Mark Ruffalo's brother has passed away. He was hanging on by a thread after being shot in the head execution style a couple days ago, and overnight apparently he passed away. This in conjunction with the story from TMZ that the police have in custody someone they are claiming is a suspect in the murder as well as a person of interest in the case. Her name is Shaha Mishal Adham.
Hey.
Okay.
And she is the prime suspect in the murder of Mark Ruffalo's brother. She has turned herself into the Beverly Hills PD, and she didn't come alone. She came with her friend Brian Schofield, who police are calling a person of interest in the case. Cops knew Schofield had a warrant out for his arrest from a previous traffic case, so they took him into custody as well. The two are being booked and soon will be questioned regarding last week's suspicious shooting in Beverly Hills, which left Scott Ruffalo dead as of last night. So the story continues.
Yeah, and you don't see a lot of women arrested for committing murder.
Mm-mm.
No, because they get away with it. Because they're so sneaky. You know what they do? They just kill you over years and years and years.
That's slow down.
That's how they murder you. How do we get this table up? Let me look on my phone. Kills you. Murders you. Lindsay Lohan! won't stop blogging about how she loves her girlfriend, Samantha Ronson.
Very happy. Uh-huh.
But apparently she still enjoys attention from the opposite sex. Fox News says witnesses were shocked to see the 22-year-old starlet cozying up with Sean Penn at an industry function in New York last week. Apparently the two were nuzzling each other and then left to go to another party together.
He's still married, right?
I guess.
Yeah, they're back together.
Yeah.
Right?
Sounds like things are going great. Sean Penn and Robin Wright Penn.
By the way, Sean Penn is gay. Everyone knows that. I saw him making out with a dude.
Yeah, it was just a movie. But luckily, a movie that few people have seen.
Yes, so we got that going for us. Pamela Anderson may have found herself a new boy toy. Actor Stephen Dorff. Prez Hilton. .com has pictures of Pam and Steven making out while at a party in Miami, Florida over the weekend.
Pam Anderson?
Not just because the two are making out doesn't necessarily mean they're an item, because Pammy, you know, she likes to have a good time.
Sure. Yep. Sure.
But it could be the start of something.
Pam Anderson?
Steven Dorff's not a name you hear a lot anymore.
No. That's true.
Actor-wise. So this may be a good move on his part. Kate Beckinsale, smoking hot actress from England, says she may finally now be brave enough to try to get behind the wheel of a car.
She's never driven?
She's been trying to get her license for the last 18 years, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
Well, how hard has she been trying?
Well, not that hard, because she's scared to death of it.
Well, you don't hear that every day.
She said while she was on vacation, she was driving around in a golf cart, and it gave her a little sense of confidence. Like, okay, maybe I can handle this. Maybe I can drive. So she's been working on it, and now she's ready to prep for her driver's test.
I have a friend exactly like that, who is an adult who has never driven and never wanted to because she's afraid of it.
What?
Yep. She takes the bus or has her husband drive.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Well, yeah, it's weird. Bean has weird friends.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it's like something is odd. Shania Twain's life may actually reflect a country western song. This is a great story. Star Magazine is reporting that she was recently seen snuggling with a guy in JFK Airport named Frederick Thibault.
Hell of a name.
Now, Frederick wouldn't be all that interesting by himself, but it turns out Frederick is the ex-husband of the woman who allegedly had an affair with Shania Twain's ex-husband, Robert Mutt Lange.
No. Kidding.
So they swapped partners?
That's what this story makes it sound like.
Or just like revenge or something?
Shania Twain's husband went out on her with this woman. Now Shania apparently is seeing the woman's husband.
Wow.
All they have to do now is get into a pickup truck and pick up a dog and go down to the Five and Dime and get beer for my horses and whiskey for my men.
Yeah, that's hot.
And they'll be set. Kevin Jonas has announced he's looking to move on. Apparently the oldest of the Jonas Brothers wants to do some solo music in a more adult vein.
Oh, no.
You do that, Kevin. You absolutely go and do that. No, we think you can. We're behind you 100%. Oh, cannot wait to
what
see
about
him.
The other two brothers?
Cannot wait to see him bringing me my moons over my hammy at the next local Denny's in about 2 years when he makes that move.
Thank God.
Anybody care what this guy thinks?
No!
Here's another option, Kevin. Just milk this for as long as possible, this current gig, and just save all your money.
Yeah, do your five albums, including the live and the Christmas record, cash the checks, and just go away.
And there's trouble at Disneyland.
Oh.
Apparently, Disneyland has had to discontinue the four male pirates it has outside the Pirates of the Caribbean ride that are bringing parkgoers into the exhibit.
They say, come on in, ride this?
Yeah, they're sort of like the atmosphere for the ride. Turns out that too many young women are flashing them.
Oh.
What? Apparently, broads are getting turned on by the Jack Sparrow lookalikes and other pirates outside the ride. And think they're so dreamy and so sexy, they are flashing them. Showing them their cans.
Oh, how funny.
Which is turning Disneyland into a park that's not nearly as friendly for young people as it once was.
And you can't even drink there.
That's true.
Well, you can in certain areas.
Yeah. One place, I think.
Yeah. And there's got that whole downtown Disney area you can hit before you go into the park.
Oh, that's true.
Not that I've ever gotten loaded and go to Disneyland.
No.
And flashed a pirate.
And flashed a pirate. But now, yeah, they're pulling them because it's just causing too much trouble for some of the families who are seeing women showing their cans to the pirates.
What a shame. Just happening in the wrong place.
Yeah. What is it about Jack Sparrow that makes the women want to take their tops off?
He's kind of sexy.
He's, as my wife would say, dirty sexy.
Yeah.
Women love pirates. You don't see a lot of women flashing ninjas, by the way.
That's an excellent point,
because
Ralph.
You can't find them.
Yeah. Well, what good is being a ninja if a broad can't find you and show her her can?
Because you can bang her and she doesn't even know it.
Before she,
that's the perfect life for Psycho Mike. If he could have sex with a woman and she would not know about it, that'd be perfect for him.
Not enough pain for him, though.
You know Mike's motto is sleep means yes.
That's right. So Disneyland getting rid of their pirates.
Wow.
Which is sad.
Well, they're right, though. I mean, you know, I hate to say but Disneyland does not make errors.
That is correct.
We support every decision that they make because they're the best people in the world ever.
And it really isn't an adult playground. You know?
Yeah, it's more of a kid thing. I can see that.
I can see protecting the kids from seeing, God forbid, a breast.
Yes.
Because, you know, kids and breasts, there's no connection there whatsoever. Most of them never see a breast until they're, oh, wait a minute.
It's the first thing they see.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, before I do that, it's Tuesday. We got new CDs and DVDs in store, so I want to mention the fact that Common has a new CD out, Universal Mind Control. You can pick that up. Live at the House of Blues by Thrice. If you're a Thrice fan, you can check that band out, their live album at House of Blues. Wasn't Thrice the band that threw in the pool?
No.
Wasn't that the
They handed him the CD and they said, hey, check out our CD.
To us, maybe play us on K-Rock. And he said, and just threw it in the pool.
Grabbed it right from the guy and threw it in the pool.
Yeah. I haven't forgot about that.
It was one of the
Thrice guys. I haven't forgot about that.
No.
It's a nice urban legend. Never happened.
It happened.
It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I was there, too.
Yeah,
a lot of people claim they were there.
Yeah, I was there.
That was funny. That was way funny.
DVDs, Deadwood, the complete series box set is available. If you've never seen Deadwood, over there on HBO. Lost, the complete fourth season. If you want to catch up before it starts in January, you can check out Lost.
Yeah.
Come on,
I'm
Kevin.
I'm way too far behind.
They have to go back to the island now. That's the next step.
But didn't they move the island?
Yes.
Well, how do they go back? How do they find it?
Because Ben's going to tell them where it is. Ben comes back and says, Jack, you all have to come back. Very important.
The last thing I remember, Hurley was driving a van.
Other than that, I'm out. You're thinking of Scooby-Doo.
Oh, no.
Show.
It's different.
Horton Hears a Who, the Jim Carrey animated comedy, is available today, as is The Dark Knight with Christian Bale and Heath Ledger.
There you go.
You want to check out a little Batman action.
Awesome.
See that on DVD. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jesse Metcalf from Desperate Housewives is 30 years old. Trey Cool, Green Day, is 36. Brian Bell of Weezer celebrates his 40th birthday. Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives as well is 46. Donny Osmond turns 51. John Malkovich is 55. Actor Bo Bridges is 67 years old. He is so funny as Earl's dad over there. My name is Earl. Does a great job
he
on
is
that
good.
Show. Dame Judi Dench, M, from the James Bond movies, is 74.
She doesn't get a bell.
No, she does not get a bell.
She does not
I
get
love
a bell.
Her so much. I love her so much.
You can love her, but you love her ugliness.
Keep your hand off the bell. And actor Kirk Douglas, who we have taken some shots at in the past because Kirk suffered a stroke a few years ago and maybe doesn't speak as clearly as he used to. But dude is 92 years old today.
Really?
Wow. 92. Mm. He is a tough mother effer, this
yes,
Kirk Douglas.
Is.
So mad props to Kirk Douglas. That's what I'm saying.
Yo,
my
yo.
New, it's my new position on Kirk Douglas.
Mad props?
Mad props.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You guys remember last year, Day Without a Mexican? Where a lot of the Mexicans stayed home to show the impact that they would have on the economy. Well, tomorrow, across the country, is Day Without a Gay. And we'll have more information about that for real. If you haven't heard about it, Day Without a Gay is supposed to be tomorrow. We'll talk about that. That'll be one of the things that's happening on the Kevin Bean Cinco de la Tarde program right here this afternoon on K-Rock between 5 and 6. Won't you come on back and join us?
I am often accused of not appreciating history.
Yeah, or knowing
and
it.
For good reason. Because I don't know a lot of stuff about old things.
Yeah. I do remember when you thought that President George H.W. Bush was the first president of the United States. I do remember that.
How
that made
you.
Me think that maybe you're not going back far enough.
So I'm watching the De La Hoya fight on this past Saturday night against Manny Pacquiao.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
there's an old dude on the broadcast team. You got your Jim Lampley. He does the play-by-play.
He's
and then,
terrific.
And there's this Larry Merchant. And Larry Merchant is bad and old and slow and needs to die. Now, I understand that in the fight game, I guess he's legendary, I guess.
I don't know.
We'd have to ask Ralph this. He's the boxing expert on the show, but I do know that he has been on fights since I was a little boy. I do know that I've seen him my entire life.
But hasn't he been slowing down? It's like a, you know, like something that loses power, like a car that just dies. And then it starts out at 65, then it goes to 55, and then 50 for a little while.
Right.
He's at 10 miles per hour. And you're at a super exciting fight, and De La Hoya is getting destroyed. And when he talks, he brings everything to a halt. Here's an example.
The commission doctor indicating in Delahoya's corner that he will not be allowed to continue that kind of sustained taking punishment without the fight being stopped.
The old warrior.
Yes?
Still trying to hang in there against
his opponent.
A man in his prime.
That's good. That guy that...
Who is the most exciting little fighter in the world.
Okay, so here's what I'm saying.
Wow.
How do you take a situation with that much energy and excitement and just kill it?
And give it to Grandpa.
Just
fly it right into a mountain.
This is like having Muhammad Ali get back in the ring. Come on. There comes a point, no matter how successful and how good, when you just need to step down.
Isn't the rap on him, though, that he is very critical of boxing and that he does kind of bring that to the broadcast? He asks the tough questions. Isn't that always been the rap on him?
He brings it too slowly. Okay. Here's the end of the fight.
Manny Pacquiao has beaten Oscar De La Hoya.
This is the last thing of all the choices.
Yes.
We expected to see in this fight. Which was a one-sided fight for Manny Pacquiao.
Now, for some reason, they let this guy interview the fighters after the fight. So now, all that energy in the ring, everybody's been looking forward to it for months. Mm-hmm. The fight just happens. It's unbelievable. Oscar De La Hoya got destroyed.
Nothing but adrenaline, right, yeah.
So he gets up in the ring, this Larry Merchant dude, and starts interviewing Oscar De La Hoya about what happened. And here's how that went.
You said before the fight, in effect... You're fighting to find out if you're still a fighter.
Okay.
What did you find out tonight?
Now. Oh, I'm sorry. He had one more word. What did you find out?
Tonight.
Okay, now here's Oscar De La Hoya, who ended up going to the hospital after the fight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who had been beaten up.
Yeah, he wouldn't answer the bell in the ninth, right? He quit, basically.
Talking so much faster and clearer than Larry Merchant.
Well, my heart still wants to fight, but when your physical doesn't respond, then what can you do? So I have to be smart, and I have to make sure I think about my future plans.
How much? He's in better shape than Larry Merchant.
Yeah, right. Granted, he's 35. I get that. But he has had the crap beaten out of him. It's been raining down on his head for the last hour, and he still sounds like he's more alert than Larry.
Here's some more of Larry Merchant, the old dude on the boxing show on HBO, interviewing Oscar De La Hoya.
He deserves all the accolades, and he deserves everything that he's accomplished, and I wish him all the best.
Did you find yourself...
What?
Feeling weak from your lower weight? Because
yes?
You couldn't respond?
Oh.
Or was he just too fast and too elusive at the same time?
He's just a great fighter.
Now, really, at some point, doesn't De La Hoya go, will you finish your goddamn question? Well, I need to go to the hospital.
That's a good point.
Honestly.
They did have an ambulance waiting for him. That's
how long
point.
Do they let that guy go? And I don't know if you watched the undercards, but there were two fights that ended in the first round that were scheduled for 12.
Oh, wow.
So basically, there was not much fighting going on before, which means there was plenty of time for Larry Merchant to do all of his interviews with every single person in the arena.
But the good news is you'll soon have your wish because the dude's got to be 100, right? I mean, he can't live forever.
But can't we take him out of that announcing position before he dies? Do we want to see him die in the ring? Is that what we want?
No, I don't.
We don't want to see that.
Okay, well, let's replace him with anyone else that's a good announcer. There are no good announcers out there that can talk faster than Larry Merchant.
There must be someone.
Come on. He's on my list. That's what I'm saying. It's that time of year for Christmas parties.
Well, it used to be. I don't know if it is this year or not.
Before they all got canceled?
Yeah, pretty much.
We're not having one.
Mm-mm.
Because, you know, bad economy. Everyone's getting fired. I guess the last thing people want is to have a Christmas party after they get fired. So, but we did take a call from a K-Rock listener not too long ago who got fired because he, at his Christmas party, got drunk and was dancing. And apparently a woman came up and started dancing with him, so he started dancing with her. And apparently it was his boss's wife. He was dancing with his boss's wife.
He didn't know, so he was dancing with her in a way that you wouldn't if you knew it was your boss's wife.
Inappropriate.
Yes.
I see.
Called into the office, let go.
Yeah.
Look, there are. We're going to take your calls on office Christmas parties gone wrong at 1-800-520-1067. There are some general pitfalls to avoid. In fact, I just saw a list this morning specifically for people this time of year of what not to do at company Christmas parties. And it's a pretty easy four-part list, but it's easy to see how you go off the rails at a party because you're celebrating. You're having a good time. You're letting your hair down. You're enjoying yourself. One thing leads to another, as they say, right?
Most of the time you spend a lot of time with your coworkers, but you never really, except for your close friends, you never really go out drinking with them.
Right.
When you have a Christmas party and there's booze and you're with your people that you work with, it can have serious long-term effects if things go wrong, which they can.
That's a good point.
Look what happens every time Michael Scott takes the kids out from the office. Look at the damage that happens. All right, from advertising agent, again, then we're going to take your calls to find out what you've had happen to you or others that you've seen, stuff that's happened at Christmas parties, 1-800-520-1067. Here's the list from advertising agent. Number one, consider treating alcohol like it's your enemy, okay? Now, doesn't that eliminate the need to go for the party? If you're going to go there and alcohol is poison, then why bother? The only reason you're going is so that you can get free booze, right?
That's the only thing to get you through the party.
Plus, the only way you can make it through is to drink.
Yes.
Exactly. Item two, what happens at the party definitely will not stay there. So it's not like you're in a bubble and you can get away with it and it's not going to be the topic of conversation when you go back to the office on Monday, okay? So keep that in mind. It's still real life.
Okay.
Number three, don't forget about the existence of sexual harassment laws.
Oh, those pesky things.
Aren't those suspended during Christmas parties?
I think in a just America, yeah, that would be the way it is. But I mean, you go to the Christmas party, there's that hottie in the office that you've always had your eye on. It seems like you ought to have the opportunity to, make a move.
You start drinking, that's liquid courage, man. Then you make the move.
Number four, avoid peer pressure to take part in debauchery. Just because Omar says, hey, wouldn't it be great if we peed on Mr. Weatherby's desk, doesn't mean that we should all pee on Mr. Weatherby's desk. Although it sounds like fun at the time, keep in mind that sometimes others will be getting into trouble. You don't necessarily want to join them.
All right, I cannot subscribe to this list.
Because
really,
fun.
That's all the fun of a Christmas party. Gone.
Yep.
So no hitting on chicks, no drinking, and no debauchery. So what's the point of even going to the party, right?
1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Lydia in Ontario as we talk about Christmas parties gone wrong. Lydia, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I actually have a story. There was a hypnotist who attended our Christmas party. Manager thought it was pretty cool, right?
Right.
So then he hypnotized this young lady, and she had some spaghetti strap dress or shirt, whatever.
Yes.
So it kept coming down, and her boobs kept popping out.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
And let me ask you this, because our friend, the amazing Tom Silver, who we've seen do a lot of hypnosis and refuses to use his power for evil, which is just BS, he would never let something like that happen. But when people come out, they have no memory. When he does, they have no memory of what went on while they were hypnotized. Was that the case with your coworker, too?
Yes, it was. It was pretty funny. She didn't believe it.
Did anyone take pictures on their cell phone or anything?
Pass them
around, because that would be the nightmare for somebody who that happened to at a Christmas party, and then you go back to work and there's pictures everywhere.
It's everyone's screensaver.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't remember it yet. There is photos of it actually happening. That's an awesome story. Thank you for the call, Lydia.
That is not a party gone wrong, by the way. That's a party gone right.
You're right.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We have fights, we have brawls, we have people sleeping outdoors. We have all kinds of problems, and we will take your calls when we get back on camera.
Right now, we're taking calls about Christmas parties gone wrong. Back when there was an economy in this country and the companies used to throw Christmas parties, coworkers would get together and sometimes they'd, they'd maybe drink a little bit, and sometimes there'd be some behavior that perhaps would not go over well with superiors. And those are the stories that we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Amy in Riverside? She is on line 3 this morning on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Amy, thanks for calling. What happened at your Christmas party?
Hi. My husband and I went to my office Christmas party, and he proceeded to get so drunk I didn't even want to be around him.
Good.
So I took off and kind of did my own thing. I came back to work on Monday. I had 10 different phone calls from 10 different sales reps.
Mm-hmm.
telling me how sorry they were for me because he had proceeded to ask 10 different sales reps who I was sleeping with at the office.
Oh man.
Not just bags, I think you mean, is what you meant really to say.
No, I can understand you were upset by that. That seems like that would be bad.
So you guys are not together anymore?
We are not together anymore.
Wow. All right.
So Merry Christmas.
About as bad as it gets right there. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Tanya on line one. Tanya, if that's really her name, is in Costa Mesa. Hi, Tan. What's up?
Hey, the company I work for made the unfortunate mistake of putting me in charge of the drink ticket.
Uh-huh.
So every person that came to the party got an envelope with two tickets in it for two free drinks.
Right.
Well, of course, when some people signed up, they were like, oh, well, we don't want any of the drinks or whatever. So that extra envelope went into Tanya's bag.
Sure. So, how many tickets did you have?
Oh, I don't know, about 150.
Nice!
Oh, no.
Wow.
Tanya is at the desk going, all right, one for you, two for me.
Seven for me. Wow.
Needless to say, me and about 20 of my friends got completely trashed and ended up sleeping in a hotel room that night. All 20 of us in one room.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
Good times. Thank you, Tony. That's like giving me drink coupons. You just can't do that
you
with some people.
You can't do it, right. Let's go down to San Pedro, please, for Louis or Louise. He's on line six. Louis, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good.
I used to work in a motorcycle shop, and we all used to go to the same go-kart track every year for a Christmas party.
Right.
We went over there, and a fight broke out between one of my coworkers and I guess someone else that just happened to be there that day. Fight broke out there. Rent-a-cop started getting involved. Complete brawl broke out. Things flying everywhere. Pepper spray everywhere.
Oh,
wow. It's not a Christmas party until you get pepper sprayed, by the way. That says the holidays.
Yeah, we're not allowed there anymore.
An all-out brawl.
That's hilarious.
The baby Jesus would be so proud.
Sure.
Thank you, Louis.
How about Ellie in Costa Mesa, by the way? Line 7, another great one. This goes back to our hypnotist story from a few minutes ago. Hey, Elle, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi there. What happened?
I did the worm while wearing a small black dress, and it flipped up over my head and revealed me only wearing a red thong.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic.
That is good. That is good work right there. And did people take pictures of you?
I have not seen any. I hope not.
Because that's the danger, you know, in this age, is it could be up on the internet before you get home.
Yeah, before the dress is back down over your knees, there can be pictures up on the internet. That's fair. Well, you gave a little Christmas gift to the office. I'm sure they were very appreciative.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Katie in Los Angeles. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
What happened in your Christmas party gone south?
Okay, I used to work at a catering company in Santa Monica, and Christmas season is really busy, so none of us had any in a really long time.
Right.
And we had a bunch of hot actor/models for wait staff that mm-hmm. worked throughout the year. And for whatever reason, Christmas party gets really late. Catering manager ended up screwing one of them in the china room.
Okay.
Other girls on the patio at the same time with two other guys.
Wow.
Oh my God, it's an orgy.
It really was. I decided to take the chef home because I always thought he was hot. And four of the girls who decided they were too drunk to drive home walked to my apartment, and the chef was in the door in his underwear.
I want to hire your catering company.
No, they're all dudes. You don't want their catering company. You want to hire the girls at her office is what you want to hire.
Oh, all right.
It was so hard to go back to work the next morning. We couldn't even look at each other.
Yeah, that's
awesome. I can imagine, yeah.
So basically all of your friends at the office all had sex at the Christmas party, essentially.
The girls, including my boss, had sex with one of the wait staff guys.
What?
How about
so
that?
Funny.
Good work. That says the holidays right there. Let's see. Got thrown out. Wasted. Manager. Let's talk to Javier in Baldwin Park. Good morning, Javier.
How you guys doing?
Good. Christmas party gone south. What happened?
About 3 years ago, you know, I went to my company Christmas party, and I was there for probably about an hour, and a fight broke out between a manager and one of my coworkers.
So it was his boss and him?
Yes, it was my boss and one of my coworkers.
And how big a fight did it turn out to be?
It was a pretty big fight. Somebody actually said that somebody brought a knife to the party, but after an hour, that whole party was canceled, and they never had a Christmas party ever again.
It's right up there with it's not a party until someone gets pepper sprayed. It's not a party until it's a knife fight.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Like, we could do this all day. This is so scary.
Yeah, great ones. And by the way, I mean, these are some serious parties. I mean, the stories that we're hearing, I want to party with you guys.
Sarah in Long Beach, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there. What happened at your party?
My sister decided to take me to her company party, and she ended up getting absolutely plastered. She started fights with the waiters who were just there to do their job.
Oh, good.
Cops ended up getting called, and there was a big fight going on, and it just turned extremely to a drunken, wasted fight. And
the cops got called on your sister.
Wow.
Good times. And that
she
was
had a meeting with her boss the next Monday morning about that.
And that was her company, right? Up. Not yours. It was her company?
No, it was hers, not mine.
Nice.
And it wasn't me who started it. It was hers.
Yeah, of course. She's calling. She's on the other line right now saying it was you.
Okay.
Thank you, Sarah, for the call. And Brittany in Whittier. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What happened?
What's up, Lisa May?
Good morning.
Yay. Well, I actually got really, really wasted at my company's party. I worked at Mervyn, so we were all friends. It was just like one big family, and everyone knew that I was underage. Well, I decided that I was going to get super wasted and start dancing and making a scene.
Good times.
Well, about an hour of my absence, people were like, well, where's Brittany? And they started looking for me and looking for me, and they actually found me outside under my friend's car, trying to keep warm, next to a pile of vomit, and a 40 of Mickey's in a brown paper bag in my hand.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Coming up next, we are going to play our acoustic Christmas version of Lick Lisa.
Yes. Haven't done that in a while.
You get tickets in the pit for Saturday and Sunday, and you get backstage passes for Saturday and Sunday.
I'd like to suggest that maybe Miss Tiny Dancer might be the licker today, if I could see that.
Do you insist? 1-800-520-1067. We'll do that just after the top of the hour.
Lick me closer, Tiny Dancer.
Call now if you want to be a contestant and hang on for a couple minutes. We'll play after the news at 8. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Remember I told you earlier this week that Blake Fielder-Civil, the soon-to-be ex-husband of Amy Winehouse, was divorcing Amy to save her?
Yes. Because he's bad for her.
I dragged Amy into drugs. Without me, there is no doubt she would have gone down. She would never have gone down that road. I ruined something beautiful, he said. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to have to let her go to save her life. I'm not abandoning her.
No.
I'm doing this out of love.
Yes.
He didn't want anything from her, not a penny. He just wanted her to go away so that perhaps she could get well, not being under the influence of his addiction.
Good dude.
A nice noble, man. Noble sentiment.
Yeah.
Reminds me of that couple. Did you hear about the couple that a woman had thyroid cancer? And her husband had to divorce her so that she could be poor enough to get
treated?
Federal aid to get the Medicare, to get the treatment that she needed because they couldn't afford to pay her medical bills.
Wow.
So he had to divorce her and move away from her. They had to prove they were actually separated in order for her to be able to get her treatment.
And probably so he wouldn't have to go bankrupt.
Or at least that's what he told her.
He drives her to her clinic
every day,
but that's the only time they see each other.
Oh, my God.
Serious.
So this is that kind of sacrifice, and I say good on this gentleman for having some modicum of humanity for doing the right thing for the woman that he loves.
Because clearly the guy's been a screw-up. He's been in prison and rehab, but at least there's a decent bone in his body for the woman that he adores.
Right. Someone just handed me this bulletin.
Uh-oh.
Blake Fielder-Civil says he will write a tell-all book about Amy Winehouse unless she hands over $1.5 million to him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he apparently has changed his story from not wanting a penny from her to wanting lots of pennies from her.
The devil are you talking about?
That's awesome.
Or else he will write a tell-all book about their relationship and her drug abuse.
Are there a lot of details that people don't know about her drug abuse? I mean, I know there's specifics, but we all get it.
It's
we
not
know
a secret.
The stories that we just heard about her behavior. Can you imagine all the things that have happened that we were not aware of?
Yeah, within the confines of their apartment.
So you're saying maybe he wasn't a good guy when he said
I'm saying there has been something that caused a change in behavior in Blake Fielder-Civil.
He saw her when he got out of jail.
Here's the other story. Apparently, Amy's father secretly offered him money to divorce his daughter.
Really?
Maybe this is when he was being all noble and didn't want a penny, when he knew he was going to get some money from the father in order to go away.
Interesting.
Mitch's offer, this is her father, Mitch's offer was an insult, says a source close to Fielder Civil. Amy's worth $10 million, and Blake says he's her husband. He's entitled to at least $3 million after all he's been through with her.
Oh, please.
All he's been is in jail.
What an a-hole.
He's missed it.
Yeah. He did get her hooked on drugs. That made her famous.
And now she has to pay him.
So she deserves to, give him a little touch, a little taste. Remember I told you a story last hour about Disney replacing the Captain Jack Sparrows?
Mm-hmm. Too many girls flashing.
Women keep flashing their cans to him?
Yeah.
Got a secret email here from a guy who I will not identify because he formerly worked for Disneyland.
Okay.
But still, I don't want to get him in any trouble. But here's the thing. The rumors are absolutely true. Not only are women showing off their cans, but even gay men would like to handle the captain's sword.
Wow.
One experience I remember very well. We moved Jack Sparrow to the back of Tom Sawyer's Island to avoid this kind of thing happening in front of other people.
Okay.
Kind of a hidden place for him. It was an attempt to attract only the people who actually wanted his autograph and take photos with the character. Well, last spring, a group of 20 to 30 sorority girls from FSU wanted a picture with the captain. I took a camera from one of them and started to count three. On two, the shirts went up, the cans came out, my pants got tight, and the entire Mark Twain riverboat loaded with 500-plus people started cheering.
Oh, man.
That was the defining moment to pull Jack Sparrow from the park and the rest of the pirates as well.
Wow.
So I appreciate the listener who gave us that behind-the-scenes look at the Magic Kingdom, and that's why it's magical.
That's hilarious.
Did he send the photo?
He did not send the photo. I'm guessing he didn't get to keep it because one of the girls from FSU was her camera. Oprah Winfrey now admits she weighs 200 pounds.
Nope. I'm so fat.
She weighs way more than 200 pounds, doesn't she?
Well, she weighed 160 in 2006.
Nope.
She says she's added 40 pounds to her frame since then.
I'm so fat.
She says she has fallen off the wagon when it comes to healthy living.
She looks every pound of that.
Oh,
yeah. Does my butt look big?
That too, Lisa. She had recent struggles with an out-of-balance thyroid. And that condition made her develop a fear of working out.
What?
Mike?
How does that translate to a fear of working out?
Does that affect your thyroid?
Because she
somehow
was working out and she wasn't losing the weight. And so she got frustrated and so she said, I'm continually disappointed every time I try to work out and not lose the weight. So now
Oprah,
she's developed.
Nope, bruh.
She's developed an attitude about it where she is hesitant to work out.
I'm so fat.
And because of that, she got depressed, which made her eat whatever she wanted. And she said, that's never good. That's not good for you. That's what she said.
That's just not good.
Yeah. So Oprah ringing in two bells there.
How about that?
Look, I don't know how tall she is, Mike. Well, you keep shaking your head. Maybe she's 200 at 5'5". I don't know.
I mean, she's
like 5'6".
She's 200 pounds if she's 5'1".
Oh, stop it.
Dude, her arms look like Lee Haney's. Have you seen how big her...
Lee Haney's.
Her
I don't even
ass,
know what that means. That is a reference for 8 bodybuilder fans in the audience.
Her wow. ass and
look
legs.
Look at her lat. She's like a bat.
Her ass and legs look like Brian Urlacher. They are so thick and big. When she turns around, she's interviewing guests. You just see... I cannot believe how thick and fat she is.
She could play for the Bears.
And she was never 160. That's a damn lie. She was never 160.
She might have been 160 when she was 13.
Wow. Yeah. Mike's like the fat police.
No kidding, isn't he?
No, you know what? I don't care about anybody else. It's just Oprah. Oprah bothers me so much about her and her weight. Like, I don't understand why she doesn't just throw her arms and say, look, I'm F you rich. I'm super successful. People don't really judge me on my looks anyway. So what? I'm fat. Enjoy. She has to come up with all these lame-ass excuses.
Nobody
and
can do that.
She dips up and down with her weight, and then it's always this new fat diet that she tries to shove down every other woman's throat. And every woman gets all crazy about Oprah's diet, this, that. Oprah has no business dictating what people eat at all. She's a fat pig. Thank you. But
I mean, look at her. She's got elbow cleavage.
She does get 25 shows a year out of it. Maybe if she'd have to come up with a whole lot more topics for her talk show if she didn't have fat.
Said the most she's ever weighed was 237 pounds.
Wow. Wow.
That's her high. So she's still well below her peak.
But she's on her way.
She's got another 40 pounds to go before she even breaks her record.
Yeah.
She's working on it, though.
Happy holidays.
That's the positive thing.
Yeah.
She fights Manny Pacquiao next.
Congratulations to Jay Leno. He is keeping his gig over there at NBC. They are moving him up to 10 p.m. on weeknights. 5 nights a week, you'll see Leno at 10 p.m., and then, as planned, Conan O'Brien will take over at 11:35, and then you'll have, what's his name? The kid from SNL.
Yes, that guy.
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon will take over for Conan O'Brien. So that's the new plan over at NBC.
I told them to do that months ago.
That was my idea.
I'm glad they're listening to me.
I did suggest it months ago. But I'm especially pleased to hear this news today because I was really afraid that somehow they were going to shoehorn Jimmy Kimmel later into the night and put Jay on at ABC at 11:30 or something like that.
Yeah,
which
that
I think would have been a raw deal for Jim because he absolutely deserves a better time slot.
It's a raw deal for Law & Order SVU and other 10 p.m. programs on NBC. No word yet on what they're going to do with the schedule, but I know what I won't be watching at 10 p.m. on weeknights.
Too.
It'll make it a lot easier to pick my programming at 10 p.m.
Law & Order SVU is a perfect example. They can't put that show on at 9.
Obviously,
I mean,
no,
just can't.
It's much too adult. Yeah, it needs a late time slot.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jesse Metcalf from Desperate Housewives is 30 years old. His castmate Felicity Huffman turns 46 today. Brian Bell of Weezer is 40. Trey Cool of Green Day turns 36. John Malkovich, 55. Beau Bridges turns 67. Judi Dench, talented British actress, is 74 years old. And actor Kirk Douglas celebrates his 92nd birthday today.
Wow.
Guy's a stud. Stroke or no stroke, he's the man. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We made the announcement yesterday. I don't know when. I'm getting confused now.
Yes.
About tickets going on sale for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. It's Thursday night at 5 for night 1. Thursday night at 6 for night 2.
Right.
Correct. That's right.
Go ahead.
And even though you often hear the words K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008, sometimes you got to stop and remind yourself that we're talking about The Offspring and STP and Rise Against and AFI and The Cure and The Killers and Death Cab and Paramore and Franz Ferdinand and Snow Patrol and so much more. I mean, it really, they are unbelievable shows, and they're going to be this Saturday and Sunday at the Gibson. You can buy your tickets Thursday night or you can win them right now with a game we like to call Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard.
She said,
but if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 but keep clear of her vagina.
Those are the rules.
I hate those rules.
We have intern Tiny Dancer in the studio.
Tiny, you're going to be the honorary licker today for Lick Lisa. Have you ever had this held this position before?
I have never held this honor before. I'm
all right.
Very,
oh,
yeah,
so
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Thankful for that.
All right, here's the way the game is played, and I always screw it up, but I'll try to announce it properly this time. I'm going to ask a question. The answer is going to be a number, okay? Lisa is going to say what she thinks that number is. All the caller has to do is tell us whether they think that the real number is higher, lower, or the same. If they're right, then they get into the drawing to win the tickets and the backstage passes for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Yep.
Is that right?
Pit passes, okay. Backstage passes for both nights. Up grabs it.
So if you lick Lisa, Tiny Dancer gets to lick Lisa live in the studio. And by the way, this is something we need lightning with this little video camera in sometime. I don't think we've ever put this up on the website, but we need to.
Alan Riverside, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Al.
You ready to play your acoustic Christmas version of Lick Lisa?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
All right, here's question number one. Remember, caller, Lisa answers first. The band Vampire Weekend is, of course, on the bill this weekend. They recorded their EP in a family barn and in their Columbia dorm rooms. Here's your question, Lisa. To date, what is the total box office gross for the movie Twilight?
Ooh.
They are Vampire Weekend. How much has Twilight made so far?
I'm going to say $63 million.
Al, is the right answer higher, lower, or is that exactly right?
I'd say higher.
Higher is correct.
It is higher, yeah. $138.4 million so far for the Twilight after two big weekends in theaters. Yeah, congratulations.
Wow.
You've licked Lisa.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Tiny.
Come over
Let's
here,
see it, Tiny.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of skin, I'm afraid.
Taking her time.
You would like me to anywhere. Oh, thank you, Dave. That's so helpful.
Is he videoing?
Yeah. Nice. Okay.
In honor of Twilight.
Oh, that was sweet.
Right on the neck. That's very nice. By the way, Tiny, feel free to remove any clothes that are in the way. If there's an area that you want to lick, you can go ahead and get to it.
I'm sure we have that kind of time.
On Lisa or on Tiny?
on Lisa. Okay. Tiny does the licking.
Araceli?
Araceli?
I'm sure that's right. I'm sure I said it right.
It's Araceli.
You need to change that. All right, here's your question. Listen up. Lisa answers first. Snow Patrol is on the bill this weekend, as you know, Lisa. They opened for the band U2 back in 2005. Here's your question. What is the record for the most snowfall ever measured in the United States in a single season?
Oh, I'm so bad at this.
It was back in 1999 this record was set. The most snowfall in a single season.
Is it in inches or feet?
This is going to be in inches, please.
In inches. 73 inches.
73 inches.
Oh, I didn't say in a night, you know. Wow. I said in a season.
So all right.
Random caller
Don't
on the
give
phone.
Give it away, you guys.
Higher, lower, or the same?
Come on, Lisa.
I'd say higher.
Yeah,
I would say too.
I thought
too.
It was lower. I thought you were laughing because it was lower.
I think Lisa. I think Lisa just wants to be licked by Tiny Dancer, and who could blame her? The correct answer was Mount Baker, Washington. It was 1,140 inches in a season.
Look, I live in Southern California.
That's true.
I've always lived here. I have no idea.
You're in the drawing. Congratulations,
Tiny. And yet I get to be licked.
Do the licking.
Lick Lisa. Here we go. Where's she going to go for this time?
Where
she did the neck
she
last
go?
Time.
Gonna,
sizing up
I'm
the arm.
Be nice. I'm going to go for an arm.
Okay. Well, don't feel like you have to be nice.
The inside of the wrist okay. is very nice.
Oh, very well done. By the way, I'm telling the affiliates now we're running long because we're going to keep going as long as we've got questions if Tiny Dancer is going to keep licking like that. Marco
oh, yeah.
in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Marco.
All right, here's your question. The band 3 Days Grace, who Lisa likes, are playing this weekend. They formerly went by the name called Groundswell. Maggie Grace formerly starred on the TV show Lost. Here's your question. How many Emmys has Lost won?
Mm.
The TV show Lost has won how many Emmy Awards?
Wow. Four.
All right, four. Is the correct answer higher, lower, or is that exactly right?
Lower.
Sorry, no. They've actually won 8 Emmy Awards.
Well, so good for them.
Did not lick Lisa. Nice try, though. Thanks
so
for playing.
1,000 inches of snow, you're telling me.
Yep.
1,140 inches.
Wow.
Yep.
You said 70.
A lot of snow.
Paul in North Hollywood. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Paul.
All right, Paul, listen up. Here's the question. Franz Ferdinand's lead singer, Alex Kapranos, attended college to study theology at the age of 17. Your question, Lisa, how old was the Archduke of Austria, Franz Ferdinand? That's the real guy, by the way, who the band took their name after. How old was he when he was assassinated?
I think he was like 25.
All right, 25. Is that accurate or is it higher or lower?
Lower.
I'm sorry, he was actually 51, Lisa. The man's assassination, of course, led the world into World War I. I'm sorry you did not get to lick Lisa, but thanks for playing.
I was bad, he was worse.
That's correct.
Okay.
Let's go to Jennifer in Highland Park. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hey.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, Lisa.
All right. All right, Jen, it's the Acoustic Christmas edition of Lick Lisa. Here's the question. The Offspring are playing this weekend. Their Smash album is the best-selling independent label album of all time. Gringo Bandito is the great-selling hot sauce created by lead vocalist Dexter Holland from the band. Here's your question. Speaking of Holland, what is the population of Amsterdam?
73?
Oh, sorry.
Think it out loud.
73?
1.2 million.
1.2 million. All right. Jennifer, higher, lower, or the same?
I would say Amsterdam. I say higher.
I'm sorry, no. 739,290, and they're all stoned. I'm sorry. Nice try. All right.
Sorry.
We got time for just one more contestant to be in the drawing to win the Acoustic Christmas tickets and backstage passes.
Melissa in Bellflower. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
All right, Melissa, listen up. You're our final contestant. The sixth studio album by the band Death Cab for Cutie, who we'll see this weekend, is called Narrow Stairs. That's Death Cab for Cutie now. Your question, how many registered cabs are there in New York City?
Oh, wow.
How many registered cabs?
2 billion.
70.
I'm going to say, ooh.
I know as a young black man, I can never get one when I want one, but how about for the rest of you? How about for you crackers? How many cabs are out there?
250,000.
250,000. All right. Melissa, higher, lower, or the same?
Lower.
Only weigh 13,087 is the correct answer.
They need more.
Congratulations. You have licked Lisa. Tiny, this is going to be your last lick, so make it count.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's a good licker.
She is, yeah.
If anyone was wondering.
Okay. Go for the boobs. Go for the boobs.
Thank you. Okay. Very nice.
Right now.
I'm going to let you pick our winner. Okay. I'm right. Mixing them up.
So we have Melissa, we have Aritella, and we have Al.
Yes. Okay. Who's going to be the lucky winner?
Both nights in the pit and backstage passes.
Aritella from Compton.
Can't say her name.
Yeah.
Aritella. Cella. Congratulations. You got tickets in the pit. Both nights and backstage passes.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Nicely done. She's thank you for playing Lick Lisa.
Lick Lisa. Lick, lick Lisa. But keep clear of her vagina.
Well, we want you to be around so you can go to the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Right.
this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. So stick around and stay alive.
Stay alive?
What kind of
danger is there in between now and Saturday to get to the Gibson Amphitheater?
I mean, stay alive, people.
It's not, we don't have to hack through a jungle to get there, Ronnie. I mean, it's going to be fine.
We hope you get tickets when they go on sale Thursday night, 5 o'clock for night number one, Thursday night, 6 o'clock for night number two. But if you don't, you can also watch it on the web.
Yep.
A very high quality stream of, you know, every minute of the show, which is fantastic.
Yes. It is the holiday season, which is why we're talking about the K-Rex Almost Acoustic Christmas. It's also, as you know, we're in, certainly the worst recession in any of our lifetime. We've never seen it as bad as this. And it's affecting us everywhere. We were talking earlier about how we're not having a Christmas party. For instance, there's no K-Rex Christmas party this year. Probably isn't a lot of people listening right now. Same deal at your work. Of course, there's no Kevin Bean Christmas CD again this year. Which is, which is sad. I know we have a lot of people who look forward to that every year, collect it, want us to put out a new disc with lots of new music. Not happening this year.
Yeah, not a lot of new music, but we do have a, it's called Kevin and Bean's Black Christmas, and it's going to be a free download.
Oh, okay.
Free.
That's nice.
So you just go to the website, you get it for free. It doesn't cost you a thing.
Is there a reason that it's free?
Because
it's not
such
that good.
Is that what it's worth?
No, I would say it's worth at least $1.
Oh, okay.
I mean, really. Value. At least a dollar.
This is a bargain.
It's free because of the economy. So, yeah, it's a bargain at free. So we're going to put it up online starting tomorrow. And the title track, Black Christmas, is actually a song that is done for us by Kevin Federlisi, which we're very excited.
Yeah!
Oh, have him on the phone right now.
Book. Keep your head on a swivel. I'm straight fat, no gristle for shizzle. Bitch.
Now, you are the former Mr. Britney Spears, who we thought at this point would be a footnote in history. I didn't think we'd ever have any reason to talk to you once you and Britney broke up. But somehow you still managed to keep doing things so annoying that we have to keep coming back to you.
You can't shake me like syphilis. I keep coming back.
That's good. That's what you want.
I don't care what you want. All I know is I'm an artist. I'm going to keep making music. I'm going to do it for the people, my fans, the ones that respect me and know me as an artist.
Black? Who's that? Who knows you as an artist?
Oh, man. It's every time you bring me on and you try to insult me, you try to bring me down. But you can't hate. You can't hate.
There's two things, K-Fed. One is that your music is bad. The second is that your music is bad.
Yeah.
Y'all try to act like that, but you don't know me.
The third is...
No, you don't know me.
You act black, but you're really just a white guy. Your soul.
Black as midnight.
All right, so Miss Cleo...
So my soul spits out music. And for you people, like I said, my fans, my true fans... My African fans, my Nubian fans, know me and respect me.
No one respects you.
Listen, Honky Devil, you can keep trying to spit your propaganda at me, but it doesn't bother me none. I've been dealing with this for 450 years.
No, you haven't.
You haven't at all. You're so white.
I didn't choose to get on a slave ship.
You weren't on a slave ship!
I was forced on it at gunpoint.
You're just a white douchebag!
My hands and my ankles in shackles, packed in there like sardines. I came over here a slave in the cotton field.
K-Fed, listen to me. Listen.
I shall overcome.
You are not. You're never going to overcome anything because you're a tool.
Sweet chariot.
K-Fed, you're not
Come
black, and there's
carry me home.
There's no self-respecting black person who has ever bought or enjoyed any of your songs. You're a horrible rapper. You're an insult to the form.
Wow.
I am.
That kind of hate.
I am right now what Jesus was.
Nope.
Before,
I don't even need you to finish
before
the sentence.
I'm the black Jesus.
Okay, done. Never. You're not done. The black Jesus. Yeah, all right, never mind.
He had his detractors in the beginning, but turns out what happened? He came back after Easter. He's like, I'll be back. Don't worry. Day of Reckoning will come.
Yeah.
And trust me, just like in like 40, 50 years, you'll be like, damn, man, why we hate on K-Fed? He's the greatest rapper of all time. His music changed the world like Wild Stallions and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
What is Black Christmas all about? What's your contribution to the Kevin and Bean digital download all about?
Well, like I said, you know, the struggles of a black man are very particular, very unique. And, you know, that goes for Yuletide times as well. It goes for the holidays. So this is all about, you know, me celebrating Christmas as a young brother, how we do it. You know what I'm saying?
I hear your words.
Hit it, Steve.
What do you eat at Christmas time?
Fried chicken!
They call him Kevin Federline.
Pretend chitlins!
Just how dope are your rhymes?
Finger licking!
It's Black Christmas, you know it's Black Christmas, yeah.
Blickety black, they call me Kevin Federline, your Yuletide aphrodisiac. Got gifts inside my sack like Satan's Santa Claus. You can call me the flu, cause I'm just so sick. Don't have no Christmas tree,
smoking chronic, that's my tonic, never stems nor seed. I said all I want for Christmas is some money and some guns, a baggy pair of FUBU jeans and Nike Air Force Ones, cause I'm K-Fed. I'm the blackest man in Cali, the North Pole is in my pants inside the San Fernando Valley. Don't need no bitch ass sleigh or no reindeer. I'm hitting corners in my caddy, spreading Christmas cheer. Stuffing stockings all day, splitting chimneys all night. My Yuletide log makes ladies feel alright. Sing it.
What do you eat at Christmas time?
Fried chicken!
They call them Kevin Federline.
Ridiculous!
You just have dope on your rhymes.
Finger licking!
Black Christmas, you know it's Black Christmas, yeah.
That's right, it's Black Christmas. And y'all know that darker the berry, sweeter the juice. I'm about to let loose the engineer running game from the caboose. You know, that's right, Barack Obama hasn't even taken office yet. We still taking the power back. December 08, bitch ass trick, recognize.
Okay, so that's available as part of Kevin Bean's Black Christmas at KREC.com for free tomorrow. But K-Fed, if I could just leave you with this.
Let me give you a little piece of constructive criticism. You're not black.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm crying over here. I'm tearing up a little bit.
Why?
That's just so sweet. That music's so amazing.
Miss Cleo sings Jingle Boobs. Beer Mug is on it. Omar's on it. King of Mexico has a song. You can download it for free starting tomorrow. And K-Fed, wow.
What do you say?
You're... Wow.
Free OJ, dog.
Right. That's what I was... Is Dancing with Dogs the best TV show ever?
No. No, it's not.
The
and
best?
No, you're not... And no, I'm not going to play any more
one
clips.
One last
because...
clip. Give me one clip.
No, I want to...
Give me a clip from Dancing with Dogs.
Here's... Here they are doing commentary on one of the contestants dancing with this freaking dog.
Well, they both have great energy, and the judges and audience seem to respond really well.
Nick's definitely known for high artistic scores because he really plays up to the audience.
Well, the music is funky, and he's a white boy, so it's a good choice.
Come on. Come on, gay Asian guy.
And it's funky. He is a white boy.
Best TV show ever.
Will that show not be able to film tomorrow when it's a day without a gay? Will
they
not
be able to? Oh, that's a great question.
Not be able to have that
show. They'll be empty. You're right. There'll be no one there.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll tell you all about Day with a Gay on the afternoon show today. Kevin Bean, Cinco de la Tarde.
Day without a gay, Bean. I know you wish it was otherwise, but you don't get a day with a gay.
No, it's without.
Day without a gay.
You get a day off, dude. Should be excited.
Congratulations.
Don't tell me. I'll call in gay if I can get the day off. Sure.
Like you'd have
first,
to.
First, though.
We'd all call in for you. Don't worry about it.
We're not done with the Kevin and Bean morning edition yet because Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat.
Very excited about tomorrow's Kevin and Bean show.
How come?
We're talking to my man Damian Lewis.
Oh, from Life?
Oh, TV series.
Plays for the Baltimore Ravens, right?
So good.
That's Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis.
Oh,
very different.
Damian Lewis is the actor who plays... The lead in Life, one of my favorite TV series, which just has been picked up again for another season. I'm very excited.
Oh, that's good news.
He gets to work every week with Sarah Shahi.
Yeah. Who's your current obsession?
I don't know if you saw last week's episode.
Didn't.
Not yet.
But she inexplicably is now sleeping with Donald Logue. Are you familiar with the actor Donald Logue?
She's sleeping
yeah,
with
I like him.
Him.
Certainly,
who is a
yes.
big, doughy, greasy Irishman.
Yes.
With long, stringy hair. And
yeah.
just
Always looks unclean.
Always looks like you can smell him through your TV set. He's the new boss over there. He's the new chief over there.
Excellent.
And they're starting to sleep together. So he is laying on her bed, naked, which is nothing anyone needs to see. But he looks up, and she's coming out of the bathroom in cowboy boots, the thinnest, sheerest panties I've ever seen on television.
Yes.
Braless in a low V-cut V-neck T-shirt. Braless, bouncing around. Sucking a lollipop.
Oh, come
it
on.
It was the closest broadcast television has ever gotten to porn. In slow motion, she comes walking out of her room in that outfit. And they do a pan from her boots all the way up to her sucking the lollipop.
I hope it's slow-mo. I hope it's really slow-mo.
It was slow-mo.
All right.
And I said, this is the greatest show on television.
Wow. So we're talking to her then?
No, we're talking Damian Lewis.
Oh, who was not in that scene.
About her. About her, and also his stepmother soon-to-be is Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, the smoking hot redhead with the giant cans.
He's surrounded on all sides.
He's the luckiest actor in show business.
Yeah.
And
no kidding.
He gets to eat fresh fruit all the time. All day long, he gets to eat fresh fruit.
Really?
All day long.
That's great.
So tomorrow we'll be talking to him. But let's talk about today's showbiz news, shall we? Sad news, Mark Ruffalo's brother, Scott Ruffalo, has passed away. He passed away during the night after being shot in the head last week. What police are calling execution style. However, they do have two people of interest in custody regarding the murder. One is a 26-year-old woman Shaha Mishal Adham
Clinton.
Is suspected of shooting Scott Ruffalo, and she came in with Brian Schofield, who was being held on a misdemeanor traffic warrant that he had outstanding, but apparently was also a person of interest in the murder. So no one has any idea yet what went on between these three people, but something bad went down, and sad news, he was hanging on just barely to life after being shot in the head, and he passed away last night, so...
Too bad.
It's rough. He was a hairdresser. I was like, what could he have done to piss off her that much? I mean, I know some chicks are really temperamental about their hair, but
I don't think there is anything that
unless a bad perm or something. Congratulations to Josh Holloway, best known as Sawyer on the TV show Lost. He's going to be a dad. It's just been announced that he and his wife Jessica are expecting their first child due next week sometime. So congratulations to Sawyer. Who the ladies think is dreamy?
Bean loves.
Well, I just hate his character so much. He could be a very nice man, but his character's just great. Such a dick.
Sawyer's great.
He's all great. The time.
One of the best characters on the show. Speaking of which, he shows up on the AOL list of television's hottest hunks of all time that's just been released.
Oh.
We have to talk to this AOL TV editor and ask her what the F is she smoking. Because some of the people that are on this list just do not belong there. And the order is all hunked up. I mean, Eddie Cibrian, for example.
Who's that?
I have no idea, but he's 24th.
Okay.
Jensen Ackles.
Who's that?
Is 18. He's from the Supernatural show in the CW.
Okay.
Eric Estrada.
Who's that?
Is 14th, by the way.
Eric Estrada.
He's the 14th on the list.
Isn't he like 60? I mean.
He beats out Lee Majors, Dean Cain, Jimmy Smits. All those guys. David Duchovny is only 39. Eric Estrada is 14.
Yeah, Eric.
Okay.
Yeah, Eric. Pierce Brosnan's 13th on the list. The top 10 hunks of all time on television. The problem I have with it, I guess, is the all-time tag they're putting on.
Yeah, they shouldn't say all-time. They should say right now or whatever.
Because Tom Selleck is 10th. Michael Vartan from Alias is 9th. Mark Harmon, 8th. Taylor Kitsch, who we discovered is on Saturday Night Lights. Friday Night Buses.
John Riggins.
What the hell is that show?
Friday Night.
First of all, doesn't the show have to be on television before you can be one of the hottest hunks on television?
It's on the DirecTV 101 channel.
Barely on television, though. It's just
The episodes that we're watching now on DirecTV air on NBC starting next month. They're going to start the season on NBC.
Just barely, though, right? You need like a special antenna to get it or something, or they mail it to your house.
It's just on the regular channel.
It's not really on broadcast television, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a great show. Ralph, you would love that show if you watched it. If you would give it a chance, you would love it.
I wrote on my blog months ago they would cancel that show, and they got the right idea.
I love that show, and I don't ever want it to be canceled.
John Stamos was 6th, Tom Welling is 5th, Tay Diggs 4th, Josh Holloway, as we were mentioning from Lost, is 3rd, George Clooney was 2nd on the list, and the number one hottest TV hunk of all time, Patrick Dempsey.
Well, the chicks do love McDreamy.
Yeah, come
I know,
on,
but
though.
All time,
he's the hottest hunk ever on television.
Yeah, that's not
Lisa.
An
who would you
list.
Put on that list if you were making the hottest hunks of all time in television history?
Well, Ralph pointed out that John Hamm isn't on there.
John Hamm's 45th on the
beautiful.
List. 45th on the list.
He should
Lisa.
Be right up at
Wentworth
number one.
Miller from Prison Break.
Sure,
50th on the list.
He's not my cup of tea.
Really?
How about 49? How about Matthew Fox? Is he on the list? I know a lot of ladies love him.
19th on the list.
19th.
Tommy Lasorda. 18th.
Okay.
No. David Boreanaz. Who
I like
of course,
him.
Was
Buffy and Buffy. All that. Yeah.
Angel, one from Buffy. Right. He's 47th.
He's on Bones now.
John Corbett from Sex and the City and Northern Exposure, 46th.
Yeah. Dumb list.
Mario Lopez is only 41st.
Well, I think if I can cut to the chase.
Benjamin
here.
Bratt, 17th.
Clearly, Ralph is disturbed that Adam West
not
did
on the
list.
No,
80-year-old Adam West is
not on the freaking list.
His man crush.
They got two Supermen and no Batman.
Yeah,
they got Tom Welling and Dean Cain. No Batman. Unacceptable.
Doesn't make any sense.
Does not make any sense.
That is
Franz. Also not on the list. No. Michael Landon. He's on the list. 36.
No, yeah, I don't Michael understand Landon. What this
well,
is about.
When he was alive, he was attractive.
Yeah, back in the Bonanza days.
He was. Maybe.
Not as much now.
Yeah, not so much now. Not so much in the Highway to Heaven years either, by the way.
No. Nope.
With the old man, long gray hair. Never a good look.
Where's LeVar Burton from Reading Rainbow?
Good point. Where is LeVar Burton? Today's celebrity birthday is Jesse Metcalf from Desperate Housewives. He is 30 years old today. His TV series co-star Felicity Huffman is 46. Brian Bell of Weezer is 40. Trey Cool of Green Day turns 36. John Malkovich is 55th. He's 55. Beau Bridges from My Name is Earl is 67. Judi Dench, M from the latest Bond movies, is 74. And Kirk Douglas, 92 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. No guests to thank from this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, but I do want to direct you to krock.com, not only to always find out what song to listen for to win your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008, but because Lightning's putting up tons of new video all the time, there's a recap highlight montage video from the Miss Double December pageant from last Friday. If you didn't get a chance to see our contestants in bikinis, you will definitely want to check that out. Also, we may have to talk about this tomorrow. One of the most disturbing videos you'll ever see on krock.com is up right now. It involves Lisa and Psycho Mike in the office.
Yeah, watching something that you should never see.
Glad they're watching something. I was, my mind was reeling there for a minute. What the two of them were doing in a disturbing video. I can only imagine.
What? That was videoed, Mike?
And
you said it.
We'll give you the details of Day Without a Gay this afternoon.
Okay. A date without a gay?
Day.
What's going on with the gay guys?
A lot of people have been emailing me, by the way, demanding we tell them what it is that Kevin said at the live broadcast on Friday.
Can't do it.
And almost lost the station its license. We cannot repeat it. We're not allowed to say that was the problem in the first place.
I just tried to tell people. And
you
Kevin
misunderstood. You misunderstood.
Oh, did we?
Yes.
Oh.
I said his.
Oh.
That's it? You didn't say that at all.
His.
Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Paramore, also Foo Fighters, Bad Religion, and that song called Pony by the band Far. All of that right after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
I'm just saying I don't recognize the Ralph Garman that tells me he cries at freaking Christmas shoes. You hate all things, Ralph.
Well,
you have a black heart.
True. I don't hate all things.
You do have a black heart. That is true.
You do have a black heart.
But I don't hate all things.
I hate you.
There's that.
No, but here's the thing. You hate the precocious kids on TVs. You don't like movies with the little
smart-ass kids. Yeah.
Right, right.
This kid is not being a smart-ass in the song at all. He's the most heartfelt kid on the planet.
Right, but it's a fictional account. It's not real.
That's true, Kevin. Only true stories can make you feel things. No, but fictional things cannot move you in any way.
We're not saying people. We're saying you specifically.
Well, here's the thing. I am not the guy that works on this show.
Can we take a vote on that?
Because you don't know me outside of this show.
Right.
So that it really, this is like my real life, that I have an actual soft spot for this particular song because it just, it makes me sad.
What year was this song, Bean? You would know.
2000.
The year 2000. It's called Christmas Shoes.
And it's generally, it will show up on the list of not only the worst Christmas songs of all time, but the worst of all recorded music periodically. You'll see a list like that. This song will be on it because it's horrible. It's horrible in every way. It's unbelievable. It's unrealistic. It is overly schmaltzy. And I can't believe that you could listen to it, much less feel something as a result of hearing it, Ralph.
We were playing this yesterday in the office, and Ralph literally started crying. There were tears in his eyes.
I'm not defending the song as a great work of art in any way. I'm not saying it's a good song. I'm just saying that's the effect it has on me.
You might need to pull over.
It was almost Christmas time.
Right now, I'm out.
There I stood in another line, trying to buy that last gift or two. Not really in the Christmas mood.
Yeah.
Standing right in front of me was a little boy waiting anxiously.
Oh, the plot thickens.
Pacing round like little boys do. And in his hands he held a pair of shoes.
All right, so the little kid's got a pair of shoes standing in line at Christmas time.
His clothes were worn and old. He was dirty from head to toe. When it came his time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say.
Is it such
Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size.
It seems like they're trying to really, really, really trying to make me cry. I think that's my problem with it. Like, that's the goal of the song, kind of?
Well, the point of the song really is about the guy who's telling the story was that he wasn't in the Christmas mood. He didn't get the Christmas spirit. He's just buying another present. And he sees this kid, and it dawns on him what the season's all about.
You think that we don't understand that part?
All right. But for folks who haven't heard the song, wait till you hear the next two lines when you find out why the little kid is so anxious to buy these shoes for his mommy.
Could you hurry soon? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while. And I know these shoes will make her smile. And I want her to look beautiful if mama meets Jesus tonight.
Okay. I don't only want mama to meet Jesus. I want the kid to meet Jesus. I want the other guy in line to meet Jesus.
That's why
Ralph
it's funny.
Bean
saying that I have a black heart is,
oh,
is,
yeah. has a black heart.
Is like Rosie O'Donnell calling someone fat and obnoxious.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
It's hilarious. And then when Bean talks about bad music
yeah.
that people like, that is like Clay Aiken calling someone gay.
But he happens
so
to be right.
Bean really shouldn't be in this conversation at all on any level.
Are you tearing up right now, Ralph, after hearing a little bit of the Christmas Shoes?
No, I'm not.
He's mad at us is what he is.
All right, let's talk to K-Rock listener Ricky, who apparently is on the line, apparently sent a note of support when this came up briefly on yesterday morning's Kevin and Bean show. He's right there with Ralph on the Christmas Shoes. Hey, Ricky, good morning, or good afternoon, whatever it is.
How's it going?
Good.
Hi.
You sent an email in support of Christmas Shoes. Tell me your story.
Well, it was a couple of years ago. I think the first time I'd heard it, I was driving home from Christmas shopping, and you know, like usually you flip the channel, you know you're at the Christmas station because you hear all the obnoxious, like overproduced,
right?
Like you know, and all the old-fashioned Christmas
schmaltzy songs, right?
Exactly. But this one was kind of mellow, so you know, I left it on there, and then you know, you get to the words and you hear the little kid singing about it, his mom and trying to get these shoes for.
Are you crying right now?
Maybe a little bit. No, actually, I'm
good
not.
For you, Ricky.
Yeah, just trying to you know, just trying to get out there. It gets a little emotional because I told Ralph in an email that. My mom actually had breast cancer, so...
oh, well, that's different.
Yeah,
I think.
It's close to home.
I think if your mom is sick...
You can only love your mom if she's been sick.
No,
that's love, what Kevin says.
No, not love. But if it's a tragic situation in your real life, of course it strikes a chord with you.
Well, but did you go out on Christmas Eve and buy new shoes so that mommy could meet Jesus and look good?
No, actually, she's good with, like, the $5 pair of, like, slip-ons that you get at the swap meet, so it's all good.
Yeah, I would think Jesus would be fine with that.
Seem like years in the cashier said, son, there's not enough here. He searched his pockets frantically.
He does not have enough money.
Kid doesn't
then
have money
turned
to buy shoes.
And he looked at me. He said, mama made Christmas good at our house. Most years she just did without. Tell me, sir, what am I gonna do? Somehow I've gotta buy her these Christmas shoes.
I hope they told the kid no and sent him home.
Then I punched the kid in the face.
If you have a mother, you can't listen to this song and not be moved. You can't.
I had a mother, and I'm grateful that she died before this song was released so she didn't have to hear it.
Trust me, she's much happier that she's dead than she doesn't have to hear you say that. Because you don't know what a failure she was.
Oh, Ricky.
All right, Ricky, thank you for checking in. Ralph Garman. God bless you. Good luck to you.
All right, tomorrow, very important day.
This coming Wednesday, get ready for a day without a gay. It is the newest way same-sex marriage supporters are fighting back against the passage of Proposition 8. Organizers of this day without a gay are calling on people to call out gay from work on December 10th.
So you're not supposed to call in gay. You're supposed to call out gay, first of all. And second of all, you're supposed to call in sick. I mean gay.
Gay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We have a spokesperson for Day Without a Gay on the phone, Leon Rocheforte.
Rochefort.
Rochefort.
Yes. And now I'm confused what the day is.
I know.
I thought I knew what it was. I heard you. And
I
now
apologize.
I'm confused. Am I calling in sick? Am I calling out gay? What am I doing?
Well, why don't you tell us?
Someone tell me what's going on tomorrow, please. Can I get some information here? I'm on the phone with radio.
Leon,
my understanding is that you are asking gays and supporters of gay rights to basically not show up for work in protest to the Yes on 8 that passed in California last month.
That's right. We're reacting to all the anti-gay ballot initiatives in California, Arizona, Florida, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for us to act in solidarity. And we picked tomorrow because it is International Human Rights Day, and we thought this would be a good day to get our point across, that it would be hard for you to live your lives without the gays.
Now, I do remember a few months ago, maybe a little longer, when Day Without a Mexican happened, and a lot of people really did take notice of the fact that, you know, there were businesses that could not open that day because they did not have labor support. I mean, yeah. Is that what you anticipate happening in some
not
businesses?
To mention how nice it was on the freeways.
Yeah, well,
I forget that.
That was pretty nice, actually.
Zoom around there without having to be behind a guy in a truck with a lawnmower in it. Clipping on your windshield.
Come on,
that was nice. So that was a good thing.
But what about tomorrow, though, Leon? I mean, is that the goal, is to kind of try to, I don't know, shut down the film business or whatever it is, some businesses that really can't exist without your people?
Obviously, we will be missed, and there will be a difference you'll be able to tell when the gays are not in their jobs. Yes,
right.
They will miss us. First of all, your hair will look like crap. That's
yeah,
for sure.
That's true. All right.
Forget about that. I wouldn't take in a Broadway show.
No.
That's
no.
for sure.
Oh, my
yeah,
God, you're right.
Not much to look at, yeah.
No. I wouldn't order any flowers.
Sure.
You'll get just something, some guy jammed in there with his fist.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Leon.
Just a bunch of weeds or something just stuck in some styrofoam. That's not a pretty arrangement.
Right. Yeah, no style there.
Kevin will be doing the show by himself, of course.
Right.
You'll be on your own, Kevin. You're gonna feel that.
Wait a minute. I'm totally going to be here tomorrow. What are you talking about?
Oh, yes. Oh, sure you are. Uh-huh. When I did some research on this show before I came on and I read your blog.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be in tomorrow. Uh-huh. Clay Aiken, Zac Efron, Barry Mantle. Mm-hmm. Yo, no, you'll be here bright and early.
That's
sure.
a good point.
You wouldn't miss it. You wouldn't miss the day without a gay, I'm sure.
And what about Psycho Mike as well?
Oh, I hope he misses it. Oh, I hope he calls in gay.
Really?
Oh, do I? Because we could use him here at the support center. Perhaps he could do some volunteer work.
He would like to do that.
Like, I don't know, the floors need waxing. Maybe you could get down on all fours and just start waxing the floor.
Leon, we're on the radio. We're talking about a very important cause.
Maybe do that.
Leon?
Or maybe get under the call center and rearrange some wires.
You are getting off topic a little bit here.
And get the wires out and put them back into the sockets.
So Leon, you're a little off topic here.
Mr. Rochefort, can we get,
right
get
on
back?
Topic.
Can we get back to Day Without a Gay tomorrow, please?
Whatever with that. Like a Mike f***ing hot.
Oh, come on.
Hey, don't forget, by the way, if you have not yet been to KROQ.com, there are lots of reasons to go, including checking out the video recap from last Friday morning's Kevin and Bean Miss Double December 2009 pageant. You can see all the chicks in bikinis and the eventual winner, Cassandra. And you can check that out. Also, we had a special celebrity guest appearance by one Spencer Pratt, who stopped by to sing to the crowd. All of that video is available for you at KROQ.com. Ralph is here with our afternoon look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's going on, Argar?
Blake Fielder Civil told us when he asked for a divorce from his soon-to-be ex-wife, Amy Winehouse, that he was doing it, in his words, to save her. I dragged Amy into drugs. Without me, there is no doubt that she would never have gone down that road. I ruined something beautiful.
Wow.
Now I have to let her go to save her life. I am not abandoning her. I am doing this out of love, he said, and asked for nothing from his wife. Not a penny.
That's really
did
rare.
He want. Then he sobered up.
Oh.
And said now he plans on writing a tell-all book about their relationship, their sex life, her drug use, unless Amy hands over at least $1.5 million.
Good guy. Nice bad.
Wow.
Friends say he just wants a payoff. A source close to the couple said money is his driving force. Now, here's the thing. When everyone said, but he said he didn't want anything before, that may be because a report is suggesting that Amy's father secretly offered him money to divorce his daughter and go away. That offer was not as much as he had expected it to be.
Right.
So now he's going back looking for more cash. So.
I see.
I understand that he set her on the wrong path and that he got her into some bad habits, but he was gone in jail and rehab for a really, really long time, and she didn't seem to have any interest whatsoever in cleaning up. I mean, it's on her at this point, isn't it, Ralph?
So if somebody sets a guy on fire and then leaves the room and he gets third-degree burns, look, he could have put himself out anytime he wanted.
He should put himself out, that's
sure,
true.
He doused him in gasoline and threw a match, but that guy could have drawn a bath. Submerged himself and then
I'm saying that he's not the problem anymore. She's doing it to herself at this point. Whether he's in the picture or not, it's not going to help her at this point.
Jay Leno is moving to 10 o'clock on NBC. The network has announced that instead of letting Jay go to a potential competitor like ABC or Fox, which have all expressed interest in putting Jay Leno on late night television, they're going to move him to 10 o'clock,
weeknights, and that way they will have him, then Conan O'Brien, then Jimmy Fallon in their lineup.
So every weeknight, they had NBC had a different program on, right, at 10
they used to have television on NBC at 10 o'clock.
Now they've given up on comedy.
Every night it's going to be him.
Now it's just going to be Jay Leno. This means that NBC may have to program as few as 10 hours of traditional programming next fall for Monday through Friday nights.
That doesn't seem like much.
Does not seem at all. And a lot of that will be reality shows, like The Biggest Loser and that kind of stuff. So in terms of traditional scripted acted television, you're not going to see much on NBC. Good move,
and
NBC. That'll drive viewers in.
Even though Jay Leno makes a tremendous salary, not compared to what he can bill, a talk show is relatively cheap to run. It could end up making the company an awful lot more money than paying out big bucks for a Law & Order show or something like that, right?
Sure.
Plus, Jimmy stays where he is, which is good.
Yeah. NBC chief Jeff Zucker said, the idea never dawned on me until I read it on some guy's blog.
Really?
Then I thought I'd move Jay Leno to 10 o'clock. Thank you, blogger, he said in a statement today.
I don't remember when. Bean mentioned that he had written about that months ago.
Yeah, so that must have been where Jeff Zucker, head of NBC, got the idea.
Thanks, Bean.
If Bean hadn't written that, there's no way this guy would have come up with
that. You're kind to suggest that.
It was all Bean.
I don't think that
Bean
was
Bean is a television genius.
Yeah.
Bean should get out of radio and get into television.
He should program.
It just seemed
like tomorrow.
A good idea.
I think tomorrow he should change careers and get into television and program a network.
Is it time for Day Without a Bean? Is that what you're suggesting?
It is Day Without a Gay.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
What are you going to do?
And it looks like Paula Abdul is packing up and leaving her home.
Because of the suicide?
Because committed suicide outside of her house in Sherman Oaks, California.
No kidding.
Spokesperson told Us Weekly magazine that she's put the place on the market because she's simply outgrown the house. And she's got the heebie-jeebies. She's a little spooked. And she said her next move will have a place with a gated community so that crazy stalkers can't linger outside and kill themselves.
Seems like a one-time deal, but okay.
Yeah, really.
And this isn't show business, but you hear that Adolf Hitler's maid is saying what a great boss he is?
No.
Yeah, there's a story today. Rosa Mittenhauer, 91 years old, worked as a maid for Adolf Hitler in his mountain retreat in Bavaria in the 30s. Rosa says he was a charming man. Someone who was only ever really nice to me. A great boss to work for.
Sure.
You can say what you want, but he was a great boss.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Christmas bonus, does she say?
That didn't mention the Christmas bonus.
What if you say killed 6 million Jews? Still fine with her because...
Look,
but good boss.
I'm not saying he didn't have his weak points, his downsides.
It's not more than a weak point.
But he was a good boss. Very good to me.
Okay.
Very tidy.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Judi Dench, who plays M in all the latest James Bond movies. She is 74 years old today. Actor Kirk Douglas, screen legend, 92 years old. Beau Bridges, brother of Jeff Bridges and a fine actor in his own right over there. My name is Earl. He is 67. John Malkovich turns 55. Donny Osmond turns 51. Felicity Huffman and Jesse Metcalf, both from Desperate Housewives, celebrate their birthdays. She's 46. He's 30. Brian Bell of Weezer is 40. And Trey Cool of Green Day celebrates his 36th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Besides Day Without a Gay, Kevin, what's on tap for the morning edition of the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning?
Lucretia will tell us about a double shot of love.
Oh, boy.
Double shot.
And that's with the Icky twins. There's twin girls that are looking for love, and they're not in it for TV.
They sure are icky.
Just for love. Also tomorrow we have Damian Lewis from Life, and we have pit tickets and backstage passes for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008, which is this Saturday and Sunday night.
Fantastic. I think we are also unveiling our free digital download Christmas album on tomorrow morning's show, too. It's going to be available, so we'll give you all the details tomorrow morning first thing. Don't go anywhere, though. Nicole Alvarez is up next with 60 minutes of nonstop, commercial-free, uninterrupted K-Rock music. You can't beat that. One Day as a Lion will be included. Also, the Smashing Pumpkins, Paramore, Foo Fighters, and more straight ahead after this on K-Rock.